Welcome to Crippled System. I'm sorry, Age of Sigmar, Episode 1.
Episode 1. Can we be the first Age of Sigmar podcast?
Maybe.
All right, excellent. My name is... insert name here.
Do I have to do a chicken dance to unlock the Age of Sigmar first podcast ability?
You get a plus one to your roll.
Bacock, bacock, bacock. Success.
All right.
My name is Nathan.
What army do you play?
Chaos Skaven? Dwarf elves? Dwarf elves. I'm going with dwarf elves.
Dwelves?
Dwelves.
Dwelves.
My name is Brian, and I'll play the metal men, whatever.
My name is Andy.
And I'm Brian. Age of Sigmar is successful because there's a Hitler video on it now. Hitler reacts to Age of Sigmar. It's pretty good stuff.
Every Hitler reacts video is good stuff.
They are all good.
It is almost impossible to make a bad version of that meme.
Yeah. I find myself watching them all the time, and it just... even if the subtitles are just different, I'm watching it all the time. That is a really well-acted scene for I can't think of the name of the movie.
Downfall. It's actually a really good movie.
Yeah.
Like, I bothered to see it just because I'd seen that scene so much, and it's a good movie.
Scene's good enough to just watch over and over again. I think that's probably why the meme's so successful.
I do like the Hitler reacts to the Hitler reacts videos being taken off of YouTube for copyright infringement. It's very meta.
It's clever. So obviously,
Reddit Rebellion. I was telling you guys about.
There's evidently I don't get Reddit. So, it's just a forum. Everyone loves it.
It's just a forum.
So there's a rebellion on the internet.
Well, because it's like a conglomerate of forums. You know, you have all these sub Reddit pages and everything.
Well, you could have a conglomerate of like Muse has sub forums.
Exactly. But the thing is that it's more like, because they're sections, but it's still the Muse forums. It's more like if the Muse on Minis over forum also linked to our website and Five Fingers website and a bunch of random things that were their own entities but were attached into it. But the issue that happened is they do the ask me anythings, which is like the one legitimately good thing that comes out of Reddit, is when a celebrity goes on there and just basically does an interview with the public. And they're really cool. So there was one mod who was the go-to person for this. Like, she not only, you know, was the liaison with celebrities, but she would, because they don't know how to read Reddit, so she would actually literally sit with the celebrity and be the go-between with the website
filter
and everything.
Filter out the awful things.
Filter out the awful things, find the good things, type in their response and everything. So, like, last week, with no explanation out of the blue, Reddit just fired her. Said, she's gone. She's not a mod anymore. And now there's all these reasons. People are like, well, maybe they were going to monetize Ask Me Anything, and she herself refused, and they fired her, or maybe this, that. But there was just no explanation.
Sure.
So the mods of, like, a large percentage of their sub-forums then just rebelled and, like, locked their forums so that the Reddit executives couldn't even get into those sub-forums, and they, like, splintered off, and they're like, well, now we're our own thing, and go fuck yourself, Reddit, and I'm running Bartertown on my own. And so these mods just all usurped their forums and became heads of their own sub-forums instead of just moderators. And so the whole thing's just burning to the ground.
Why not ask the person that got fired what happened?
But, like, just imagine if all the faction forums on Privateer Press
Magus takes over Merc Forum.
Or, like, Faulty, the mod of the Merc Forums, locks it so no Privateer Press staff member can get into it or moderate anything and says, this is my forum now, motherfuckers. And it becomes the Faulty Forum.
to be perfectly honest,
it would probably get pretty popular.
I think that would be fine.
Yeah.
If all the faction forums just splintered off and they became their own entities, I'd be fine with that.
And that's what's happening with Reddit right now. And it's crazy. And so then all these other shitty Reddit ripoffs are now scrambling to be this haven people can flee to now that Reddit's all fucked up. And their servers are collapsing because they can't handle the influx.
So did anybody even think about asking the person that was fired why? Or why she was let go?
There's no response. Like, either they can't get a hold of her or she's not saying. I don't know if there's like if she can't.
Maybe she's dead.
Well, someone on our, by the time this post, someone will like post all the reasons on it, and then I've already stopped caring.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
And I haven't checked it today or yesterday because I've been busy having a real life and it's been a holiday weekend. But as of Friday, nobody knew what the fuck was going on and it was just chaos and hilarious.
That is pretty good though. I like when communities crash.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Gaia had something like that happen once. It was a while ago. I didn't really poke around too much on it. I just kind of heard it through the grapevine that all their moderators lock their own little sub forums to. And that place is, from what I know of it, it is like the misfit forum island. Like the weirdest shit is in there.
Yeah.
It's not so much like crazy weird shit, just weird people, I think.
Cool. Well, we should probably do our announcements before we forget.
Announcements.
July 11th.
This coming Saturday.
Yes, for everybody who is uninformed out there, it is not the 18th, as what everybody around here seems to think. It is the 11th. Who's the boss?
That's a Saturday.
It's this Saturday.
I don't know what's happening to me this Saturday. I thought it was like next week.
I have the 18th off.
Fucking God.
I mean, I knew it was the 11th. I never thought it was the 18th, but I thought the 11th was farther away.
You thought the 11th was 2 weeks after the 4th.
Yeah, I did. I did. I thought the 11th was 2 weeks from now.
4 plus 14 equals 11.
Yeah, well, I figured the holiday daylight savings time thing, leap year, kind of came into effect.
Yeah, leap second lasted for like a week?
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing. So come to Madison this Sunday and play in Who's the Ball?
Saturday.
Or
Saturday.
What did I say?
Sunday.
Well, you could hang out an extra day. And we'll do some.
We'll do another one on Sunday.
We'll do another one. Wow, it's this weekend.
One more Sunday, and I think we've actualized our dreams of being monster truck announcers.
Sunday.
You're getting there. Well, yeah, so this weekend, Who's the Boss? Good job. Then sometime in the future, on the 25th of July, however much time that is from now, I can't tell you, is the third six-pack event.
Well, if 2 weeks is 7 days, then that's another 14 days, so it'll be four weeks.
I don't know if it may. Exponential, so, I don't know quite how it's going.
Right. So July 25th, which is technically in September based on
that. Yeah, basically.
Okay.
I'll see you in 3 years at the end of this month for the six-pack event.
It's like we're at the rim of a black hole and time moves at a different rate.
Yeah.
Wow. We're so 3 years from now, jump into a time machine and come back to the event. On
it's
the 25th.
Like we're in that movie.
Well, as long as I can still make Travis angry by saying tier list event by then, then I'll be okay.
He didn't actually say anything about that.
He did.
What? Oh, you got a nice message?
Yeah. Well, right at 42 minutes is when I pointed out that like I knew Travis would be angry, and Travis is like, yeah, like at 41 minutes I was ready to kill everybody.
Yeah. I had a personal hit over the internet come at me. I just got a message. I wanted to come through the internet and kill you.
If it took him 41 minutes, that's pretty good for us. I mean, usually like 8 minutes in, he's like, I hate you guys so much. Why do I talk to you ever?
That was fun. Yeah, he didn't say anything when I was playing with him on Heroes of the Storm either.
Maybe he's just silently brooding until the event, and then he's just going to kneecap me or something.
Yeah, he'll just stab you. Love stab. You know.
I'll make sure if I get paired up against him that I want to select this specific tier list and get my theme benefit on this level.
Right. Speaking of trolling people, I want to get a Zagara plushie for Plumber.
Yeah.
I desperately want to find a Zagara plushie and send it to Plumber.
I think he's got a new ultimate hatred. It's Falstad. He hates Falstad as well.
Well, that's okay. I was playing as Falstad. I got him to level 5, and I'm like, you were all right. I'm never playing you again.
I only got him to mine's only 9. That's pretty low for mine.
Yeah. You play him well, though. Plumber was playing him, and he was like halfway through the first battle, and he's like, how do you fly? Like, where? Because you can use his ability to jump to different spots on the map. No, he didn't know that. He was like, this guy's really slow. I don't understand
right away.
I got Master Skin Butcher today. I was very happy with myself over that.
Oh, nice. God, you play way too much.
I play a lot. Well, I went on a huge win. I played a lot last night. And
Wasn't it like double XP this weekend or something?
Yeah, well, there was that. I wait for the XP weekends, and I just play the fuck out of it. I play with the Canadians all day today. Well, some of them, like Brandon, those guys. And then yesterday I played with Jordan and Angel from Texas for like all day. We just kicked people's ass. Brian doesn't play Heroes of the Storm, though.
No, I still have yet to unpack the parts of my computer that need to get hooked up.
When I move, typically the first thing that's on and functioning is my computer before anything else. Like, nothing else in my house is unpacked until my computer's functioning.
Yeah.
For me, it was my PlayStation 4 and my air compressor. The air compressor probably came first, though, because I want to make sure it was all right. Because I have a massive air compressor that my neighbors absolutely love. And it's a good time. I always try that. That's my pride and joy right there. My airbrush and my compressor.
Cool.
It's like I don't always listen to Iron Maiden, But when I do, my neighbors do too.
Yes.
Well, they seem like decent people. I mean, they hang out in their garage a lot and get drunk, which you keep that stuff inside your house. But they don't seem to get drunk in my
neighbor's house.
The garage is in your house.
Well, I can get drunk in their bathroom if they don't know I'm there. But that's a different story.
I can't even imagine seeing Brian just like passed out in the tub. Just beer bottles everywhere.
Yeah.
Just walking in.
You guys are out of Coors Light. And then just walk upstairs naked.
No.
It'd be worth it.
Visual, don't need. No.
It's all right. I'm sexy.
We know he has 8 genital piercings.
Actually, the most I topped out at was 46. That was the most.
Specifically in the genitals?
Yep.
Wouldn't you run out of room?
Well, no. I mean, I have a lot of room. So I just kind of, like, I get bored, and that's the worst place to be bored in as a tattoo parlor. And I was just like, I'm going to try and put one here and fit one there. And then I started looking like that Brazilian lady in my nut region, so I decided to back off.
Brazilian lady in your nut region?
Well, maybe she's Portuguese. She holds the record for largest amount of body piercings.
In the nethers?
No, on her entire body. Like, once you see her, I'm sure you'd recognize her as someone that you might have seen in passing, like on the internet. But no, lots of work done.
Wouldn't your genitals look like one of the pin toys that you put your hand in and it leaves the imprint? Just like, it's nothing but a wall.
Well, for old time's sake, I can probably put them all back in and you can try it out.
Okay, sounds like a plan. I will just slap your nuts once you have 46 piercings in it.
Well, it kind of turns to scale mail at that point, so whack away.
I like to think your peanut just goes everywhere. I guess.
Actually, another interesting thing, I am not circumcised, so I don't have that problem.
Oh. Wait.
Boom.
What?
Yeah.
What would that have to do with anything?
Well, because the head is, it's got several holes in it, but the foreskin goes over it, so I don't get the sprays in other directions. It just kind of funnels right out the tip there.
Does not like come out the sides?
I just meant, well, the piercing, then it gets funneled back
through.
No, yeah.
Anyway, Age of Sigmar is a thing.
Speaking of dicks.
So, obviously, there's one person listening going, I don't know what Age of Sigmar is. GW has released a new fantasy. Warhammer Fantasy no longer exists. It's now called Age of Sigmar.
Yeah.
Evidently, like, the world blew up, and it's like a recreation of their existing world. It's not a new edition. It's a new game, is really the best way
to describe it. Fantasy is done.
Yeah, it's a new thing. 100% new.
Which is
a bold thing to do. I mean, they obviously were going into... I mean, they probably didn't like where their sales are going. They probably were seeing a decline, so they wanted to do something new. And they definitely did something new. They said, you know what? They took a lot of acid. They had one of those powwows. Everyone comes and said, no idea is bad. Everyone threw all their ideas in a hat, and they just used all of the ideas.
I think my version of that is a little bit different, but I think they had a giant board meeting with everybody at the company, and they threw up a things to do list and things not to do list on two separate blackboards, and they accidentally erased the things to do list.
Yeah, somebody switched the sign.
Yeah.
Someone was like, I got them.
Yes.
The janitor was like, Matt Damon was the janitor doing
I mean, coming from somebody who's, I mean, Brian and I, we played from fifth, well, I played from fourth. Fourth up to seventh edition.
When I was learning the game, was fourth, fifth. I played fifth, sixth, and a lot of seventh. I played almost a decade of Warhammer Fantasy.
My analogy to what they did for at least one listener, for at least my brother who's listening, and other people who may not be familiar with Fantasy or yet Sigmar, but might be familiar with other games, is when I looked at this is like, imagine if Wizards of the Coast banned every single Magic card. Just said, we're done. Everything's gone. We're starting from scratch. Magic the Gathering is continued, but we're only going to print Unglued.
I don't know Unglued.
Am I right, Brian?
Yeah, it's great.
Unglued, the joke rules, that's all it is. Yeah, it literally was. Like, it was an April Fool's deck, expansion that came out, and it was just for wacky fun at tournament at events. They're like, this is what we have Unglued here, and it's just stuff like, if you wear a pie tin on your head, you get 5 extra life in the game. You know, if you... Sound familiar? Yeah. And so it's like if they made Unglued their actual tournament format going forward and banned all the serious cards.
Yeah, they had Unglued and then Unhinged later on, which The basic lands that came with the cards were really cool looking. But one of the, like, just to frame it for you really well, like, one of the cards was called Rod of Spanking. It was kind of a throwback to Rod of Ruin, which was, like, pay three, tap it, zap somebody for a point.
Sure.
Rod of Spanking did the same thing, but if they didn't say, if your opponent did not say, thank you, sir, may I have another, it untapped so you could do it again until they actually said it.
Yeah.
There was another one that kind of encapsulated Charizard, where I think it's called Into the Dungeon. I might be getting that wrong, but you actually stop playing the game that you're playing, take your existing deck, and go and sit underneath the table and play a game. And then when that one's done, you can get back and sit in your chair and actually finish the real game you're playing.
This sounds amazing.
It's great if you're drunk and it's a card game, yeah. Right? Yeah.
So they basically, like you mentioned, Age of Sigmar is basically a party game you play with your $5,000 to $7,000 to $10,000 worth of miniature hobbies that you spent making and painting and getting ready for tournaments and doing with stuff. Like any game, if it's you and like if the four of us, if we didn't have any other friends, it was just the four of us on an island, and we had Age of Sigmar and we just played it, we probably would have some level of fun because we house rule a bunch of shit, we'd ignore a bunch of. It's a miniature based war game. With no point system. So if I decide to bring 12 dragons and you decide to bring a whole row of goblins, thinking that, well, we'll just play this generic fun game, and then obviously my 12 dragons run over your goblins because they're dragons, you know. But if we were the four people, we would kind of know ahead of time what we're doing. It really brings in the, well, we'll just, you have to like pre-talk about your lists and you pre-talk about your games so you like have this weird balance because there's no point scale system.
Yeah, in my opinion, what they did with Age of Sigmar is they kind of turned it into a template.
Yeah.
For wargaming.
And it's a skirmish-based game instead of a rank-and-file style game, which is the funnest part about me in Warhammer Fantasy. I loved actually maneuvering the units around and positioning armies to fight armies. Like, I actually prefer rank-and-file army-style games over skirmish games. If Warhammer Fantasy didn't degrade over the years, I never would have played War Machine. And I have a lot of friends who never would have played War Machine if they would have kept it as a, you know, an intelligent rank-and-file game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they lost and so much of our core War Machine group is ex-Warhammer players.
Yep, and if it, I think it was a nice balance between the rank and file that they saw in Warhammer as compared to the rank and file that you see in the Napoleonics and those type of games, which to us just felt like all we're doing in those, like the Napoleonic games, is just recreating battles, and that to us just didn't seem fun. We wanted to make our own battles with our own troops and such, and have magic, you know, being flung around here and there.
I think a brand new person coming to Age of Sigmar with him and his friends might actually have fun. But this whole idea of a story-driven narrative game, when you want to walk into some random game store and play other people, you're just going to run into problems. I mean, certain lists, if you're a dwarf with a bigger beard, you get rerolls of your opponent.
Yeah.
Certain lists, if you kneel, well, whoever kneels and playing a game, you lose a game. Or if you like.
Right.
You have to stare someone in the eye. You can't break eye contact. You have to, like, intimidate somebody, insult someone, bribe
someone.
Yeah,
the insult one. It's literally the power is insult someone, get as rude and mean and vicious as you want to get, and if they respond, you get a game benefit. So the game encourages you in a public game space calling this guy's mom a whore and telling him he sucks ass and everything. Like, what?
Scream wah if you want to reroll. That's like, that's what we need is someone constantly screaming in games.
Yeah.
I can see how this will work as just a friendly game that you're going to play with folks, but I really can't see the tournament scene even remotely surviving with this type of game.
The issue with that, though, there's three possible positives to doing this style of game.
Yep.
And my three counterpoints to those possible things. One, well, kids can play it. It's great. I can get my five-year-old. Finally, I have a miniatures game my five-year-old can play. You always could play an insane, stupid, no rules, shout and use pew pew laser noises with your mouth game with the minis you already had. Nothing was stopping you from taking your Signar battle box and sitting down with a 3-year-old and go, look at my robot stomp around, aren't we having fun?
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to lobotomize your rule set and make it terrible for the kids. The kids don't give a shit about the rule set. So that's a stupid argument. Argument two, which is that it's a wacky, fun, drunk party game.
Correct.
And I'm fine with a wacky, fun, drunk party game when it costs me $50 or less and comes in a cardboard box. Not when it costs thousands of dollars of miniatures, thousands of hours of painting time, all the hobby and everything. I'm not putting that much investment into Flux. Flux costs me $10 fucking dollars and it's done.
And it's horrible.
You're right, but it's a wacky drunk party and whatever. And number three, which is that, well, you know, it's just a fun, not serious thing to play with your friends. And that's fine. I'm cool with that. You know, and you have to not play hyper-competitive. Like, you know, in this game, you literally just win turn one if you feel like it.
Yeah, literally.
You literally just go, I'm just going to win turn one. And that's fine when you have a social contract not to do that in, like, a cooperative game or something. Mm-hmm. But any game where one of us wins and one of us loses, fuck you, I'm winning turn one. Of course I'm winning turn one.
Exactly.
Why wouldn't I?
And that's why I don't think that this game will even... Like, Warhammer Fantasy 8th Edition could actually be played out in tournaments and that, because you had that social contract with generally most people, and the models were limited by the amount of... Yeah. They had limits to them. You can only have a certain amount of points.
System.
Yeah. Yeah, there was something making you have an equal army.
Yeah. Now it's literally, if you're going to play in a tournament format, you can buy the biggest, baddest models in the game and just put them on the field, and what is your opponent going
to
do?
Me and Nathan have Age of Sigmar because we got blackmailed into having to get it. And we're playing a game, and we actually want to play a fair balance game. And we decided to house rule away all the stare at you, insult you, because everyone keeps saying, "Well, just house rule everything. Like, take the core rule and house rule it away." I'm like, first of all, if someone's selling you a game, you shouldn't have to house rule huge chunks of it.
Right. Yeah.
But regardless of that detail, me and Nathan want to play a game, and because there's no points, it's up to us to determine what actually is balanced. So we play a game and go, "Oops, I guess it's not worth that." So like, how many games do I have to practice before I actually can play a fun, fair game?
Right.
Yeah. You also have to play every single army that's out there in order to balance like that, and that's why I think it's more of a template game. In the sense that Games Workshop did present this stuff that's like really it's really easy to get into it because the rules are so boiled down and so simple.
It's 10 pages, right?
Yeah, 4 pages, I think,
heard.
4 pages.
And then the other thing, like one of the points that I think is a little moot is the whole game store atmosphere with the calling out names and yelling and screaming and dancing. Because I think it's fairly apparent that Games Workshop completely abhors the fact that they have to use game stores in order to sell their games. So I think this is kind of like... I don't think they really think of it in that.
They do actually hate stores.
They do.
Yeah.
And what's hilarious is that even though they've only got 4 pages of actual rules, those actual rules are also terrible. Like, one of the great examples was cover. If you're behind a wall, you get no cover. If you're standing on top of a wall, you get cover. Like, what the hell does that even mean?
Who's balancing models on walls?
I'm going to balance the model that I spent.
Bases
know,
have no
10 hours
a
painting.
Model doesn't have a base, so you can be on whatever you want for a base. It's all about like touching the model. It's like you have an
infinite model.
The model is the model.
So now you're getting interesting. Like if you're looking at it in the terms of like the rules are the rules and that's the way it is, you're looking now at people who would be modeling things for advantages. And like I had made a comment about the mammoth being the best melee monster in the game because you wouldn't have to nobody
he's so much closer.
Yeah, exactly. So you just model him on the edge of his base and it's like he's now speed 11 instead of 4.
But you can put bases on top of bases to make up for that because the bases don't matter. And luckily it's not like this is a hobby industry and people put time and effort into making beautiful scenic bases that will get destroyed when you start shoving other models on top of them.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like the Who's line of miniature combat.
Yeah, I think I saw somebody post a meme of that of where the points don't matter.
Yeah. I think they go that. Yeah, you can stretch that pool really wide.
Nice. That's pretty good. That's some good stuff there. Yeah, it's very interesting concept to try. And I feel like they said, how can we insult our player base the most?
It is insulting because one of the arguments I saw somebody supporting this, like, you know, hey, you're playing G.I. Joe. You're playing glorified G.I. Joe. It's no worse to ask you to get up and dance while you're playing with your G.I. Joes because you're already acting like a 2-year-old man baby because you're playing with G.I. Joes. And that guy can go fuck himself, first of all.
We've had this discussion.
Before. Yeah. You know, because again, and who said this, if you want to play a serious game seriously, nobody can tell you you're wrong. If you want to treat this like G.I. Joes and fucking dance and make pew-pew noises, you're allowed to do that. But the game shouldn't force you to only do that version.
Correct.
You know?
So coming to Madison here, there is going to be a release event for Age of Sigmar. I am, just because I almost want to get the perspective of the guys I used to play with in Warhammer.
Play some demos.
I want to see what their perspective of it is. Because we're coming from a very... It is a hyper-competitive game, War Machine. I accidentally clicked on my mouse, and I had to make sure I didn't stop recording. But we come from a hyper-competitive game that has very strict rule set, that has everything really laid out exactly what they're supposed to be. There isn't really any kind of goofy fluff stuff. You know, it's just play the game. I want to see it from what we see Age of Sigmar is. I want to see what they see Age of Sigmar is from their perspective.
They're allowed to goofy fluff. I mean, I've seen pictures of people playing the game dressed as Mosar. You know, we've got the longest night events. You know, you can do that if you want to, because the game having a serious rule set doesn't stop you from playing it in a silly way.
Yeah,
true.
But the game having a silly rule set stops you from playing it in a serious way. It only works one direction.
All the people who play Fantasy or 40K, I see them going to tournaments. They travel like we. They don't have quite the intensive con scene everywhere, but they still travel. You know, throughout the state to events. They go to multiple day of War Machine events and our Warhammer events. But yeah. I don't know how do you go to a Warhammer event now without having 1,000 house rules? And every different place has different rules, and at one point are the player rules replacing the game rules, and at what point is that acceptable? It seems like anyone that's trying to defend this is almost suffering from battered housewife syndrome, in my opinion. It's like they just
it's gonna be even a bigger version of comp. Some other company or some other entity, some kind of forum, is going to be saying, this is how we're going to play Age of Sigmar, and then everyone's going to jump on that.
Because Lord knows I'm not going to drive 3 hours to an event so that I can watch somebody dance on a table and call my mother a whore.
Well,
when that's the rules of the game.
To jump off Andy's point, with another entity coming in, it seems like not so much in the Age of Sigmar line, but Mantic has actually started designing or has released rules so that Fantasy players can continue to play Fantasy just with Mantic's rules template. So they've kind of jumped on that.
Those are Kings of War?
Kings of War.
Yeah. I keep hearing
Mantic,
people.
Mantic is basically GW again.
Yeah, so they...
The U.S. version, I think.
They're UK.
They're UK, yeah. But
and it's smart for a company to take... I mean, any company that's about... I mean, anyone who's about to launch a new line, like, this is the moment to fucking do it. I mean, you have a lot of... has to be more upset Fantasy players than happy Fantasy players.
Exactly.
Right now. Because people, end of the day, even if it was skirmish, even if it was a good, decent skirmish-based rule set, you got in the Fantasy for a rank-and-file battle system.
Right.
I mean, and it's not even a good skirmish. I mean, I understand why they went skirmish, because so many games are going skirmish, and there's a successful realm of skirmish games, so I kind of get it.
But on the flip side, that means that you are cornering a market.
Yeah.
Right?
They were the king of their realm, I guess. But
yeah, well, now there is no king in that
exactly,
realm.
Exactly. Yeah,
it's just completely
it's free,
gone.
It's a free market now.
Which is, like I said, like what we've talked about too. It's really sad because they had the rank and file system.
Yeah, they had the genre by the balls.
Yep.
What I'm trying to think of, like, the time frame for Fantasy, but I want to say, hasn't it been out since like the early 80s?
It's been out longer than 40K.
Yeah, I know. I wanted to say it was like
30 years.
It's definitely 80s or 70s. I want to say I've seen 70s style models.
Yeah,
early 80s for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I think when 40K first came out, it was Warhammer was already in its third edition at that time.
We were playing like a 93, and that was 4th, 5th edition. So they were definitely, you know.
Yeah.
Or no, maybe we were playing like 95, 96. It was still 4th. Yeah, they were definitely 80s.
Yeah.
Early 80s for the first couple editions.
I can't imagine how shallow your creative pool has to be to just take a 40-some-year legacy and just rip it apart.
And some people say, well, just play the old editions if you want to play competitive. Like, when you have a new edition, you tell people to go play the old editions. You create a splinter group where, okay, this group might do this edition, this group's doing this edition. That doesn't help your communities either.
1983, in case anybody cares.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things. Yeah, when they jump from 7th to 8th, you know, you just... Because 8th edition was a complete changeover for how Fantasy worked as well. They basically brought in the rules of you can measure anywhere. All of your charge distances were randomized. You rolled 2d6, and that's how far you would charge.
I have never been shy about saying that there are serious flaws in the game design of the Warhammer games, okay? But that's way different than whatever the hell is going on right now. You know, saying, well, Warhammer Fantasy, maybe this isn't balanced and demons are way better than this because the additions are different, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's something you can discuss. But again, that isn't reroll if you have a longer beard than your opponent? Like, what the fuck? So if I'm 12 years old or a woman, I'm either fucked or I have to wear a fake beard.
No, you shouldn't play a dwarf army.
Or then. I just can't play dwarves?
Yeah, you can't play dwarves.
And someone can, you're supposed to stare someone down with one of them too, so.
The cocktrace?
Yeah. God forbid your opponent has any kind of, I mean, obviously everyone that plays games doesn't have any social issues at all. Right. So let's just completely jump on that bandwagon.
Stare at someone stare long enough for them to down, pee their pants. Yeah.
Until they look away. And if they look away, you get a plus one.
Yeah.
Your die roll.
Well, and I think there was one that they get really subjective too, because one of them was, If you have a more magnificent mustache than your opponent, like, what's magnificent?
Yeah, it's just, I mean, the thing is, like, I had heard that the rules were really bad, and then somebody posted a bunch of units with these ability descriptions, mm-hmm. and I assumed this was some troll making fun of the game because, you know, look how bad it is, guys. You have to dance like an idiot. And I'm like, come on now. Don't ruin this. Wait, this is real?
Yeah, when I first saw it, I thought it was just someone spent like 20 minutes and wrote up some stuff and was having some fun with it, and it was just trolling the web.
Right.
Yeah. Until I saw that, I saw some post from Tabletop Gaming News and said, all right, and here's all the goofy things here, and here's the source, and a link to the source, a link to all the PDFs, all on Games Workshop's website. I'm like, oh, this is bad. What?
Yeah, yeah. One of the things that I am interested to see from them in the future, if they try to develop the rules for this game at all, is they've already kind of, I mean, subjectively taken images from another company and GW'd them to try and, you know, I feel like some IP issues might be going on between those
two. Well, you mean the Sigma?
The Basilian army from Mantic. Yeah. They also, when I saw the rules and saw, like, the 3+ to wound or the 3+ to hit or 4+ to hit, that's the exact same way Kings of War works. They don't list out stats. It's like, this stat gives you a 4+ to hit. The other thing that I'm interested in seeing is if they start to take things from another one of their ex-GW designers in the Warlord games from Bolt Action, because they have the same system where it's like you have this specific number to roll to hit. It's always a 4. But if you're a certain unit, you add +1 to that. If you move, it's another +1. So I'm interested to see if they start fishing from other companies and just try to pay more money for their law team than they do actually to develop a game. See if that works for them.
This is my theory, and may not be a good one. This edition, this ninth edition, could be a complete trash edition to just get people frustrated for once they release 10th edition, which would be a return to the rank and files under new management, where they would be able to release all the books and everything for Warhammer Fantasy.
They're playing the long game.
They are very, very adamant that there is no 10th edition. No. They are very, very adamant. If you talk to any GW rep, this is it. Fantasy is dead forever. This is it now. Well, Age of Sigmar.
But if they were going to do that, that would be the line they would take.
Obviously, though. Yes. Correct. I mean, they could be lying out of their ass.
But it would be.
They are adamant that, like, nope, this is it. We are rounding this corner. That's dead. Onward, Stallion.
I guess if we'll see actual books come out for the Age of Sigmar for everything else, or if we're just going to stick with this PDF version until, you know.
And even if they're telling the truth now, like, if this is disastrous, like, Age of Sigmar 2.0 is Warhammer Fantasy 10, sorry, back to rank and file, guys.
Exactly. Like, but I mean, it would give them time, in a sense, for just people playing this shitty version, give them time to do what we've always wanted them to do, is just produce all the armies at the same time, release them on a regular schedule. That way you have balance between the factions rather than, here's a new army. This one's just slightly better than the last army that just got released. And this one's slightly better than that army.
My big challenge would be when I'm down at the game store doing events and running things, when someone comes up and is all excited about Age of Sigmar and I can't say anything negative. I don't like to be the guy at the game store when someone talks about, if someone's playing their game and they're having fun in their corner, because they should have fun in their corner doing their thing. Yeah. And most times I can, you know, let it go, but it's going to be a little bit harder with Age of Sigmar than it has been in the past with other games. Like, when I see them doing that, I'm just like, man, maybe they're having fun, but if they open up their minds to the world, they could probably have a ton more fun if they would just, you know, look outside their world.
I'm thinking back to the Halcyon days when all this was first starting, like, you know, 6-8 months ago, and the worst thing we had heard about was that, like, they were getting rid of lizard men and stuff like that. Like, oh my goodness,
men did go back into space.
They just went home.
But, like, I thought that all they were doing was obsoleting some of their races. I did not see this coming.
Well, and anyone subs.
I like Andy's idea about the speed bump edition, where you have one where it's just like, we're putting this stinker out there, and then they'll get excited for it because all of the, not all, I'm being overarching, but it's kind of like every single GW person has like Stockholm syndrome or something like that, but they'll all come back. The other thing that I think of, I mean, if, and this is me being like super conspiracy theory, but since I pay so much attention to the secondary market or secondhand market, really, fantasy armies just go boom, boom, boom. Yeah, well, whatever. Yeah, the tier market, the barter market. I saw somebody selling like a $3,000 fantasy army for $165 because they were just that pissed off. I'm wondering if GW's like, if we can get these people to sell their stuff, it will help us sell new things to them when the stuff actually picks up again and we make a real edition.
That sounds evil corporate.
I could chair their whole company, I tell you.
It would be brilliant in some ways.
Some ways. I mean, they also could just be saying "fuck fantasy," like, and they're, you know, like the money is in Space Marine video games. I don't care about dwarves. Whatever.
Well, and isn't
they could just be doing that?
Isn't like, fantasy
burning
like,
it to the ground?
Isn't fantasy bigger in the UK than it is here? Anyways, like it's almost like they're pissing on their home turf too.
I think fantasy is larger in the UK.
Yeah,
40K just isn't that huge in the US. Yeah.
Well, US has always been the last 3-4 years. Whenever I've seen those companies that release the top sales, 40K is the number one seller. War Machine Hordes is number two, and then, well, I guess they always split it up. But I mean, then and fantasy was always number three. Was number three behind War Machine. And I'm sure it's different in the UK. I'm sure fantasy was probably higher up there.
And a good trend. I don't know if we want to transition into this little moment is like the other companies being able to do things to catch up on this. Like, I think I already talked about Mantic doing what they do best. And that's just like, I'm going to port the rules on here so you can keep your models. Come to us. Here's the rules for free. So what do you think like Privateer Press could do to kind of see this as an opening of people like getting this mass exodus?
I think
just run demos and welcome people. That's all they have to do.
I think honestly,
we've seen like a big wave of starter bundles over the summer.
The army boxes, they should have a summer sale for right now. Like the second they released the rules over on GW, it should have been a Privateer Press 4th of July summer sale.
Big banner on their website, Age of Signar.
Yeah, exactly. Something, I mean, summer sales definitely get with the army bundles. I think they missed the time period when they released the giant army bundles. I think those, if they came out now, would be perfect.
Well, they're coming out. They're still more coming. They got the whole summer. They got most of those coming.
That's one of the problems that I had thought about this too with, you know, making the army bundles available again. But the problem that I see with the army bundle release schedule now as it is, at least the army box or whatever, the 35-point deal, is that the two armies that haven't come out yet that are down the pipeline are probably not the greatest to get somebody into the game with. Because you've got Convergence and Cephalex. And Cephalex is so corner case in a faction that's so much bigger and is nothing like the rest of the faction.
Correct. Yeah.
And they're also extremely attractive. So, like, when you see those models, you're like, these are great. I want them. I want more. But, and then with Convergence, it's still a very limited faction. Yeah. And it's also, you learn the game on a different level, I think. You have to learn the positioning and all the other, or you have to learn all the rules of War Machine first, but then you have to learn this other layer of War Machine specific to Convergence where your positioning at the start of and the end of your turn can really make or break you. So I think getting those army bundles or army boxes out again with the regular core factions is probably a good thing to do at the moment.
Well, Convergence then too, they're known to be, there's no new stuff that's going to be released in a book.
Mm-hmm. They're also a faction that a lot of people jump in and then jump out a couple months down the road. Like I said, if you want a Convergence of Cyrus army, they are out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was that topic.
Yeah. No, like I said, I'll go to the release event and just.
Well, I'll be in the bushes watching like a.
I'm just curious. I'm curious to know because like our good friend Ben Cohn, who's a gigantic Warhammer Fantasy guy.
GW could come to his house, do terrible things to his wife, kill his dog, and he would still give them money. Nothing they would do could ever slow him down with
that. He has been playing other games, though, but I think Ben is getting to the point of kind of venturing further into the old man gaming, where they're going to be starting to play World War II games.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He's a great guy, but GW, he will be with them to the end. I mean, he will be like the last flag bearer of that company.
It just feels like it's a Brewster's Million style thing, where they're just curious what it'll take to drive away all their customers and lose money. Like, are they just testing how devoted Ben Cohns of the world are? They're like, if I make him dance and call his opponent a fag, will he quit this game?
I think with the World War II deal, I think Adam from Tabletop Minions in Milwaukee, he said as soon as he turned 40, something clicked in his brain that he just needed to play Flames of War in all World War II games. Mm-hmm. It's just
I think it's an age thing. I think pretty soon Brian and I will end up starting to play just all World War II, Napoleonics. We'll spend like 30 hours painting one specific model, and then
get all the stripes and the medals right on on the chest.
All the stripes and the medals, and then we'll go and we'll just set everything up in a predetermined scenario. All the models are set predeterminedly, and then we'll just roll dice and play for like an entire weekend.
And as a side note for that, I like to try and work in a little painting tip every now and again. And if somebody's trying to learn like high level techniques, historical people are where it's at. Those guys can paint faces and do battle damage and everything. And you can
they paint that like 15 millimeters, so they really get the
They're also like MacGyvers of painting too. It's like you go into somebody's, if you take like a war or a historical war gamer painter into somebody's kitchen, they'll come out with like a big old basket of things and like, this is what you should be using. Throw away all that other crap.
That was something I kind of missed. I didn't really utilize it, but it's something I wish I would have over at Last Square.
Yeah, they had a lot of those guys.
They had a lot of the old historical minis guys, and they'd be setting up shop, I think, Saturdays and Sundays and just painting.
Yeah.
And that would have been neat to go get great some resource. Of that experience.
I always talk to Quick, some of them on terrain making stuff. I would go in there and throw my ideas at them. They're like, just get a ball of yarn. Do this.
A ball of yarn, some glue, and some gravel. You can make anything.
Yeah, you need some Aquanet, some salt, and you're good to go.
And your old Dorito bag. You got yourself a fort. All right. What's happening now?
Seriously, start a fight with your opponent as a rule.
Yeah. Last man standing wins the game. Woo, you didn't even need to pull your models out of the bag.
I will say this, though. This isn't going to be the last that we'll hear of this in this today for this discussion, because we do have some Zappity Grumbles that ask specifically Age of Sigmar stuff.
I almost bought recently I saw some of the new models for the orcs, and I'm like, man, that model is really cool. Like, I kind of want to own that model because I could have someone nicely painted up, and I could just put it almost like on a display case because it's so good. And now I can't give – I cannot – in good conscience, put any money towards them.
All the new Chaos ones, like the giant Nurgle guy just got released.
God damn it.
I can't think of his name, but he looks amazing. Like,
how many points is he in Sigmar?
Zero.
Oh.
I just have to bring him.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You look at the front of a box, it shows you a model. You flip it to the back of the box, it's a completely different model, but all the bits in there can make either one. Yeah. They give you bits to just customize everything. They do such a good job making those models and making them so customizable. And they make them look so pretty. I mean, and then they make them cost 17 times more than you think they should cost.
Yeah.
But whatever. That's a thing, and that just happens. But then they're like,
Do the Nurgle rules have, like, if you smell bad?
You don't take a shower for 3 days.
Oh, my God. That'd be amazing.
60%.
Because they're already encouraging the insulting your opponent, and we all know how, it's Xbox Live. Like, they're like, act like you're a 12-year-old on Xbox Live for a benefit. The Nurgle one should really just be shit your pants and don't bathe for a week before the tournament.
Yeah, you automatically get a +1 to all your rolls.
When you roll a 6, if you say, I fucked your mother last night, you get no armor save.
If you actually, if your models have Claw to Flies and you have Claw to Flies, then you win.
Yes, yes.
Oh my God. Yeah,
it's like if Andy and I are just playing in his basement, like, you know, I'll just like, you know, say some goofy insult thing or whatever. But God, I know gamers. I know the people I see on day three of Adepticon.
I've met people.
Yeah. I have met people where they do not get a benefit for insulting me in the game and they still do it. Like, oh my, That's the worst one. I know I keep coming back to that one, but it's just, it's undignified and stupid to make people dance, but to make people start a goddamn fight for an in-game bonus.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I still think the most egregious one is all the facial hair references. Like, mini wargaming in of itself is already devoid of a lot of female players. And this just, like, really drives the nail in the coffin for somebody who's looking at the rules for the first time.
You have a uterus, you're not welcome here.
Yeah, either that or you have to admit that you're some...
That's outside my door.
Yeah, that might be one of your problems, by the way.
Damn it!
Yeah, like, and people are like, well, they could just wear fake facial hair. Well, number one, that's stupid.
Yeah.
And number two... They shouldn't have to.
Exactly.
You're only welcome if you pretend to be a guy because women aren't allowed to play our game. Well, it shouldn't be a message you put across.
I heard in development, I mean, you know, I've got my sources out there, but if you're playing Dark Elves in this new Age of Sigmar, that if your breasts are bigger than your opponent's, you get to re-roll double ones. And that one actually works. On both men and women in this genre.
It's the facial hair one. Like, imagine if there was, like, an elves one. They're like, if your skin is lighter in tone than your opponent.
Like, hold on. So I have to go get my cup sized?
Well, I mean, it's not too hard to do.
I have to make sure that I know my cup?
You can just go to a lingerie store. They'll do it for free.
Comparative truffle shuffle.
Yeah.
And the TO will judge.
Oh, man. Our game comes with a lawsuit, too.
Do we have an actual topic besides that?
Well, I'm
going to go, Pete. You wanted to talk about, like, time shifting. And Brian doesn't like long topics against Mark 1 because it's stupid and it's in the past.
Well, I just wanted to kind of go.
No, and I support certain, that. That's like, not an maybe, insult. Yeah, I understand
maybe,
that stance.
Like, maybe some of the big offenders of, like, if you get this, you should time shift it. But I looked at trolls specifically.
It's topical because coming up this Saturday.
I looked at trolls specifically, and I didn't find any that were like, boom, auto-switch that. But I found some interesting tweaks to just two casters.
That's what your group message was about?
Yeah.
I only read a moment of it, and I kind of moved
on. No, I'm not like, let's play Wayback Machine and live like we're in Mark 1.
During the weekend, I'm mostly playing Witcher 3 and Heroes, so I literally just like skim. I haven't worked in like 5 days, so I haven't been paying much attention. So I didn't. I thought you were like, let's reanalyze Mark 1. I didn't realize it was like a time shift type of.
No, it was specifically related to time shifting. Like the two that I pulled were Borka and Madrek 2. And Borka does some really interesting and neat things when you time shift him. He goes from being extremely survivable to just a really interesting caster. Like, he does weird stuff. Yeah, party foul is ridiculous. So instead of actually getting the stumbling drunk that makes you a lot harder to kill when you spend your whole stack, the party foul, if you kill the keg barrier, or the keg bearer, what happens is you...
You get a second turn, basically.
Yeah, your whole army can just charge.
Yeah.
And that's, like, my keg carrier now sits right by Borka, behind him, maybe a couple rows behind him. And I'm so afraid of that thing dying. But if I was time shifting him, I'd play him so far forward.
Oh yeah, Mark 1. You ran him forward, inviting free strikes, and then you parked him in front of like their Beasto 9.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, he's not going anywhere.
Exactly. The other thing too about Borka is he has a really neat thing that I haven't seen on any other warcaster other than maybe like Karchev and Chromak could do it. But he can headbutt as a star action. Like that's pretty legit. Like he's a caster who can enable an assassination really well with a star action headbutt.
Well, and Mark 1 headbutts were worse because you can knock anything down, I believe. Couldn't you? It didn't matter the size.
Yeah, you could headbutt larger things.
Yeah.
I had.
There's a penalty, though. Yeah, but
yeah,
still.
There's a penalty. I remember having Karchev being blinded and headbutted. Blinded by the witch coven and then headbutted by the stupid chicken.
Yeah. Well, and then like the other part of Borka that I really liked was that his feat is very different. Like
it's Helga's feet, but worse.
Yeah, it's everything can slam. Like your champions, your warders, they can just slam, and that's amazing. Or no, yeah. Run and attack, right? No,
it's the first thing you hit every turn is slammed.
That's another thing to note about the keg carrier dying is it's not just a charge or an advance. You get to run and then make an attack. Run. That's amazing for trolls.
It's boosted attack and damage rolls. So they all get to run and then attack with fully boosted.
Exactly. And then when you do that, like it turns the who's the boss scenario to a very winnable thing. The other one that I had was just Madrek 2. He's kind of like a a caster that almost shift roles. So like Mark II makes him very armor cracky because he has bloodlust. His feat doesn't change a whole lot, but the thing that he does go from is an armor crunching machine to like infantry mulching and assassination enabler. Because with his Mark II, it's like you get a fury whenever you kill something, and you usually just spend that to either move up or do that. But now he gets blood tokens. He can have like up to 3 of them in Mark I, and he can just like really Pac-Man like crazy, because if he's not replacing his blood tokens, he can supplement with the fury to then start replacing those tokens again. Just seems so good. So those are just the two that I came up that I kind of looked at that did some very unique things when you shift them.
The one caster that actually helped create who's the boss in general is Tyrant Xerxes. If you get Tyrant Xerxes, you should shift into him. He is very different than his Mark II version of him. His spell list is completely different. He's got target friendly Scorn War Beast gains cumulative +1 arm for each fury point it has on it.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
This is Merciless Assault. Target friendly Scorn model unit may make additional melee attack with each of its melee weapons during its combat action without spending fury or being forced.
I'm looking for mercenaries.
Oh, they're there. Right there. And then he also has Petrify, which is each enemy model in the AoE must pass a command check or forfeit its movement or action during its next activation. So the reason why he exists and why we wanted to make who's the boss of it there is if he was in a Trollblood army, he'd be amazing.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. You got an armor 24 Mulg with no stone.
Yep, yeah, armor with Mulg, and then also the top of their Merciless Assault with champions.
Yeah.
So they get an additional attack for every hand weapon that they have.
That's insane. Especially if you've got Scaldi with you, who gives him overtake.
Yep. So on top of that, he has chain attack stagger, which is pretty awesome. He has heal. When a friendly Scorn War Beast charges, Xerxes immediately ends its activation once Xerxes' melee range. After the frenzied Scorn War Beast ends its activation, Xerxes' command range, Xerxes' controller may choose to have the War Beast lose all fury points on it. So it's basically like the new frenzy.
Yeah.
He also has martial discipline with trolls in his feet, which is models with annihilator may make charge attacks, gain additional die on all melee damage rolls during their activations, and then while in base-to-base contact with one or more other friendly score models, it gains +2 armor.
Yeah, if trolls ever got a martial discipline cast, it'd be off the wall.
On top of that, with +2 armor from that, +2 armor from the stone, and then +2 armor.
Stack your Earthborn, yeah.
No, +2 armor for having just champions, because they're brothers in arms, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they have defensive line.
Yeah, so that's basically +6 armor. On top, if you also give them the animus from the Earthborn.
That's nuts.
Ryus.
Yeah, Ryus Mark I, yes.
Ryus. The two big things Ryus gains is, number one, her feet isn't wall within her control area. It's currently within. So she gets to feet, and then everything in her army can go over the entire fucking board. It doesn't matter where they go. Yep. And they get to do it every time they attack, not just the first time they attack. So if you have something like Mala Karn, or no, even better, like something with Berserk or whatever. Who has Berserk? What's Ruck. Like a beast with Berserk?
Ruck or the Stalker.
Sure. The Stalker. Warpole Stalker. Because he's got it reach even.
Yeah.
So every time he attacks and kills something, he teleports to the other side of that model he hit and gains a bonus attack and can go anywhere on the board, just bouncing around killing everything. And it, not even just beasts. I mean, you can do this. Get her with Doomreaver Swarm.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Doomreavers? And that worked perfectly with the old
the War Chief, obviously, but he's different. But infinite teleports, and they can be outside of a control area, so that's psychotic. And she brings back one of the most retarded broken rules in the history of the game, which was invisible. Which invisibility, if she kills something, she goes invisible, and invisibility is +4 defense against ranged and magic. No, I'm sorry, that's a lie. It cannot be targeted by ranged or magic.
Correct.
+4 defense against melee, and cannot be charged or slammed.
Yep, she's basically submerged in a sense,
which is psychotic. And then you know she's still like a weapon master and all that crazy stuff.
Is she a weapon master?
Yeah, I believe so. She has
Say additional die.
Yeah. She's a swords master, which means she gets two initials instead of just one. And weapon master, additional die in her melee damage rolls.
Yep.
But her feet and invisible are just so broken as hell. And then, yeah.
Crix had a couple very generic, simple things. Gorshade 1, his Soul Gate. In Mark 2, when you teleport a Jack with Soul Gate, it cannot activate or attack. In Mark 1, what we would do is you'd run something forward.
It couldn't move.
So now you teleport, you run the model forward, and you cast Soul Gate, you teleport your Death Jack from the back of the field to the front of the field, and then it activates. And Mark 2, it can't activate. Mark 1, it can't.
I like the facial expression on Brian there. Yeah, I definitely have won a tournament games with Gorshade 1 where I had Gorshade, one infantry model, and the Death Jack against an army. And the person I just ran that Bane Knight next to him and go, you lose.
Yeah. His Deathwalker's cool. That's the main Death Jack thing. Scar 1, her sacrificial strike, which was called a Scar Bomb, was the big thing in Mark 1 because if it's a star action like it is today. You sacrifice a model next to her within an inch like you do today. But today it got errated for two things. One, it's the base armor, which before was just the armor stat. So she could feat on a Bane Knight. So it'd be a power 21. It's range 12, does not require line of sight. So she basically goes forward, does sacrificial strike, does a power 21 damage roll on a model. Mark 1, she can also boost it.
Yeah, because now it's command range instead of control range, yeah. Right? Base armor. She needs line of sight. And it's base armor, and it's unboostable.
Correct.
So all four of those were nerfs. Before that, it was a boostable, no line of sight, range 12, current armor.
I may have won many.
Does she have a +5 armor feat? Yes. I forget if she has a +5 armor feat. Oh, right, she does.
So I may have won many games.
With trolls and the stone?
Yeah, you're just ridiculous.
The Lich 2 is ironically almost exactly the same, except in Mark 1, he had the ability where he could, once per turn, he could use a soul, cast a soul token to avoid taking any damage. So basically, you big hit on Gatsby 2. It just is no damage. It's a cancel.
Yeah, the Mark 1 Scarbo. And Gorshade Express, just disgusting. So good. Yeah. Oh my God. You time shift Denny. Because she had command hacks in Mark 1. And with the way formation works now, minus 2 command just means, those guys are all out of formation now.
I didn't know I was playing a brick.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I didn't even think about command hacks.
Minus 2 command doesn't exist in the game anymore because of the new formation rules.
Correct. Interesting one to switch to if you end up spinning the Harbinger. Her feat is completely different than the previous feat. Well,
not completely different. It's worse because you could avoid it.
You could avoid it, but they also put you at a disadvantage because you might be facing the wrong way.
Yeah.
Because basically her feed was enemy models ending their normal movement in her control area with line of sight to her immediately suffer an unboostable power 14 damage roll. Ignore any intervening models and determine line of sight.
So distance didn't matter. It just mattered facing.
Yeah. You just had to look away from her.
I had heard campfire stories of ye old days playing against Harbinger where you'd end your potential, like, I foresee a feat this turn. All my models are going to look at me.
It's during her feat. Yeah. So she feats and says, if you end your next activation looking at me, you get hurt.
Oh.
So what happens is if you move, like, you either back away or you give back our... to her entire army, her following turn.
Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Yeah, and she also has Martyrdom that's a 20-inch range as well for that.
And no knockdown in Mark 1?
Martyrdom? Or she's,
her.
She's
I think she was no
knockdown, I think.
Yeah.
You can't knock down things afloat.
She can't be knocked down. Yeah. And she has front arc is 360. Yeah. She has godlike power.
I like the things that she just constantly is inhaling helium.
Is that under a new rule too that the Harbinger cannot channel spells?
She can do a Mark 2.
She can channel, hilarious because then her spell that gets reduced power the further away it is from her, if you channel it, it can have negative power.
Yeah.
So you'll be like, I'm going to roll these dice and then subtract 6 from what I roll and then apply it to your armor.
Yeah.
Which then is hilarious that the blast damage is stronger because half of -6 is -3.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, like some of the other ones that I'd heard in passing, because I am not a Mark 1 survivor, was Morgul.
Morgul 2, Mark 1.
Yeah, Morgul 2, Sorsha 1, and one of the Vlads. I can't remember which one it
Vlad
was.
Vlad 2 won the game.
He
kind
of just like was the machine of.
Yeah, you won Vlad 2 way back. You want Morgul 2 flashback. Well, because he blind, like, you know, because Gorman blinds thing, and he just said. if you're within his control range and he can see you, he blinds you. It's now, it was only 10 inches, so it was, you know, it's, and Sorsha had a thing where if you were in 14, you were automatically frozen, where now it's she has to see you and you're within 14. Mm-hmm. But he said within 10 inches, you're blinded. What made him broken is the model gave him ghost sight, so he could see everything in front of him. So he was, it was a guaranteed every model within his front line of sight within 10 inches was locked down for a turn.
Yeah, blinded, yep.
I have two quick, yeah, Morgul 2's feet. Two quick Merc ones, just because they're two casters I like, and they're just better. They're not as there's not as broken differences. Durgan is way different in Mark 1 and worth checking out. But Bart is almost exactly the same as he is now, but he had two amazing abilities that they took away from him in Mark 2. One is Victory Howl, which if he kills something, every enemy model and unit within 6 inches of him has to pass a command check or flee. So that's kind of cool. But the big one is Rouse. If he hits an enemy with a charge, his entire battle group gets +2 to attack rolls and charges for free.
Wow.
Which was such a fun ability, and it wasn't overpowered, so I was really sad that it went away in Mark 2.
Even if it existed today, that would not
it's
change.
It's not overpowered. Yeah,
it is not at all.
You're charging in with your caster. Like, that's that's awesome. And it encouraged him to just go in and hit something, and his battle group just fucking charged at you, too, which is really cool.
Yeah, I'm surprised that didn't make it through the
contest. Probably because it was so good with the feet, maybe. But yeah,
maybe.
But
in the
world where Abby 2's feet exist, I'm surprised that one wasn't allowed to.
It's basically conferred rage.
Yeah, it is.
It's conferred rage, but... Yeah,
with dice.
With and then the other one is Ashlyn, just because her feat was insane in Mark 1. Because in Mark 2, it affects everything in her control area. In Mark 1, it affects everything on the table. Because if you are out of her control area shooting into it, her feat still affects you.
I guess probably one of the last ones we'll talk about here is Karchev, the Terrible.
Yeah. the Iron Curtain.
Iron Curtain, which is...
WWF, the game.
Which in...
Who had Kaboom, 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 Kaboom? Was that Butcher 2?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Butcher 2.
Kaboom, Kaboom, Kaboom,
Kaboom.
Oh,
forgot about that. Oh, here, Nathan, I'll give
you... for a second. While you're looking stuff up.
There you go. Nathan, I'll give you...
So Kaboom. All right, you explain Iron Curtain. I'll find Kaboom, Kaboom.
So Iron Curtain was basically you put a spell onto two jacks in your battle group. And anything, I'll even read the spell just to make sure. Magical field created between a target warjack and Karchev's battle group and another warjack in his battle group declared when the spell is cast. When the warjacks are within 10 inches of each other, any enemy model crossing or crossed by any line that could be drawn between the two warjacks suffers a pow 12 damage roll and is knocked down.
It's insane.
So you just run these two jacks around knocking everything or killing them, and they make a wall like you can't charge in between them to get at something.
Kodiaks must have been a hot commodity then.
Kodiaks, or if you were doing if you're doing like a Frankenstein or something like that, you put that onto like a little bone chicken because they have speed 7. That was the problem with Kador is they all had speed 4 jacks, but if you put that thing on a speed 7 jack, they can run 14 in a swath around your entire army, and then you run the other one like, you know, to pick up whatever didn't get hit.
Butcher 2 had a spell called Unnatural Disaster.
Yeah,
you know,
baby.
Unnatural Disaster, Brian?
No, I don't.
I will read this to you. It is a cost 4, range 8, AoE 5, POW 13. Good kaboom. All right?
Yeah.
Models destroyed by Unnatural Disaster explode with a 3-inch AoE and are removed from play. Each explosion AoE causes models in it to suffer a POW 10 blast damage roll. That's pretty cool.
It is.
Models destroyed by an AoE also explode. So you get infinite AoE explosions just cascading and chain reacting and wiping out entire tablefuls of models.
That's
and
ridiculous.
All, in Infantry Mark 1, all had formation was every model had to be within an inch of another model in its formation. Yeah.
I saw Andy cast that once in a 4-player game with Mosh Pit, just because where we all had to be in a 12-inch zone in the middle of the table. And he cast in Natural Disaster, and you could just go away and take a nap while they were resolving all these explosions.
I was the king of the hill that match.
Yes.
Because there was nobody else left.
There was no hill left.
Yeah, retribution tiers must have been at an all-time market low back then, since they'd be flooding the market.
Yeah.
So Hexus 1.
There's only two. They came out. They were the very first Mark II book.
Oh.
But they released a supplement that had two casters for Mark I.
Gotcha. Yeah, they were in like, because they came out in no quarter, basically.
Mm.
So Hexus 1 and Mark 1's pretty slick. His feet's better because models can move their full speed instead of like 3 inches.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. And he had my favorite Mark 1 spell called Deathbringer. Models within 3 inches of target models suffer a damage roll with a POW equal to the strength. So you target a jack because it has a high strength.
Mm-hmm.
So any model within 3 inches, it takes the strength of that jack.
damage. That's pretty intense.
Then the target model takes D3 damage points per enemy model destroyed by Deathbringer. So, like in today's world, you hit like a Colossal with it, you would just literally target like 20 some models, and then you
with use, a POW like 20.
Yeah, and then he would, it was like 17.
17,
and then
yeah.
he would take like 20 D3 damage rolls. Oh. When you play that's like now you're playing Warhammer Fantasy.
One of my main goals for Who's the Boss is to time shift something that I get, and I just like I've only been to one, but I didn't see it done a whole lot. I think it may have been done once or twice, and I just thought that this segment might open up that world a little bit.
So I haven't asked you this, Andy, and I don't know if you've thought about this, because this Who's the Boss event is a charity event for not charity
it's
for
a fundraiser.
Like, it's a fundraiser instead of a mm-hmm. charity where we have the charity one for Toys for Tots. This is funding money to help us pay for all this help lost by me and Andy, who pays for all this equipment. Because he's spending a lot of money. So my question is, at the charity version, people are constantly able to buy these things because that's the fun part of a charity is you raise extra money and then people all have these time shifts. Like someone will go and buy 4 time shifts because they want a chance every single round if possible. Are you going to let people have like a smaller amount but still some kind of pay money to get this to help fund you?
I'm going to change it because before I had all the pricing made out for something that'd be more beneficial for a charity.
Correct.
I'm going to lower a lot of the prices down. It's already posted. I have all the prices posted.
I don't read things,
but
I play video games now.
Exactly. Since you think the event's happening on the 18th.
I thought it was on the 11th and 2 weeks from this week. I knew the date.
But I'm going to change all that. So it's not going to affect anything in the tournament. I am going to have one new thing that's not going to be announced, but that's going to be during when everybody's building their army. They'll have this new thing. It's called Witness Me.
All right.
It's going to be awesome.
I was wondering if you're going to do that.
Yeah,
do
we it's going to be it's
our
happen.
Opponents? Do we get to?
No, just witness me. Yeah. Witness me.
I think that it would be beneficial to kind of play off on it and make an Age of Sigmar boss point achievement.
If you can bring an entire army, make it like a War Machine army of Age of Sigmar models. No.
I'll
shoot that one right in the head right now. Drag that out to the alley.
So yeah. So there you go. If you get Vlad 2, you want to time shift him back to the Mark 1 Vlad.
Yeah, you do.
Because you'll win. Sorsha 1.
Well, she. That, I think it really depends on the nerf language, because I know back there was a point where it was everything in her line of sight.
Yeah. That was still at the end. That was still line. It was still our control.
The card should still have that.
Yeah, I don't know anymore.
But I know like Vlad's card in here actually says we would actually be going with the FAQ of the time.
Oh, we wouldn't time shift back to Typo Gorshade 1.
No,
Typo Gorshade 1 was really good.
Yes, Typo Gorshade 1, where you can upkeep
Mage Blight.
Well, that's like Typo Madrak now. Everybody wanting to think that that Crusher would last forever.
Correct.
But this wasn't like a stupid left off thing like Crusher just missing the expiration. There was a big giant axe in the Can It Be Upgraded column on Gorshade.
Actually, Sorsha's card is right.
At the beginning of Mark, Mark 2 had the big playtesting.
Mm-hmm.
The very last version of the playtesting document for Denny 2 said, while within Denny's feet, you were locked down instead of, currently within. So they had it around it for a very short period of time where if you walk into Denny's 14, you immediately stopped.
Nice.
It was hilarious.
Just the other great thing as a Crix player at the end of the field test, the very last update, Terminus had Reach, Thresher, and Pitch on his sword.
Yes.
So he just walked up and there were great anime, like people posted that the clip of Lord of the Rings when Sauron's just hitting all the knights away and they're like, this is Terminus against Precursor Knights.
That would be, there are a lot of moments in War Machine where they're very like theatrical depending on the things you do, like tossing models around and like basically pitching them back and forth between two is really fun. But that would have been really cool to see a model with Thresher and Pitch. That'd have been neat to see.
Like Vlad's card basically says, I can't find him, his says any model, just warrior models, so it doesn't say. It was non-character.
Yeah, it was a rotted non-character.
It was a rotted non-character, but it never actually made it to the Prime Remix version of the card.
I was on the receiving end of Great Bears under that feat.
Yep,
on behalf of Andy.
Unfortunately, and, under the the dealer of that.
It was painful.
And is it Vlad? I want to say that I had thought Vlad 1 could cast both Blood of Kings and Signs of Portents.
Yes, he could.
So that makes him good.
Totally could, because one of them only costs three, and the other,
that's now they're 4 and 4. Huge request for Mark II, I guess.
Yep. Yep. Blood of Kings is 3, and Signs of Portents is 3.
Yeah, so you can cast both and still have a point left.
And have just one sitting on him.
I think I'll boost this, whatever.
He also had his Dagger of No and his Morphing Sword.
Mm. Yep, his Morphing Sword, which is actually really, really cool.
Oh, wow. And then as a heads up to maybe some collectors, and maybe for my clarification as well, I know there are the colored versions of the cards.
Oh my god,
and black,
Brian,
and white
you
ones
cannot
as well.
Say colored.
Colored. I'm sorry.
You'd say cards with color.
If you have the black and white cards, though, we have a collector named Marshall who would appreciate if you would give them to him.
Anything Mark 1 cards.
Marshall's trying to get all of the set. He's coming back. He'll be back in Madison, I think, in August, September. But he definitely needs some of those cards.
I got to find out what cards were actually released for the black cards.
Yeah.
Because I think having a time shift would be interesting.
All the way back
like
to before
you
remix.
You go back to Sorsha 1 before everything.
Well, the reason why I asked is because I am a collector and I always try to figure out what's harder to find and how to properly value it when I pick it up from people. One of the things I just have hanging around is probably a stack of cards like this that are black and white of Krix. Mm. I think I've got multiple casters, multiples of everything.
I think the harder ones to find are actually the gold cards.
Yeah, well, the gold cards, I've already, that ship is
sailed.
It's sailed for me. I mean, like, it's out there. It's like it's my Moby Dick. Like, if I find it, that'll be cool, but right now it's just not.
So you're saying it's very pierced.
Yeah, it's very pierced.
Speaking of which, I just pulled out my phone to start looking for Zappity Grumbles and whatnot, and there was a text from my wife saying that she got way too much information about your genitals. Poor woman's just downstairs minding her own business, and we're just talking about your cock and balls.
I'm a very open person. Very open.
Or your balls.
Well, they were actually.
There's at least 46 holes in them, so yes.
Most of my good stories start with actually, but there was a point in time where I had actually thought about getting a transscrotal piercing done. It's not so much a piercing as it is a procedure where you take the septum of the sac itself and cut it straight back to where it's, you kind of, and then you suture the two sides. So like, think of your sac as a Walmart bag. You split down the middle. Almost to the bottom.
You make it into two sacks.
Yeah, you suture the sides together, and then you can stick a huge plug in there, and it's probably very uncomfortable to walk around with unless you like slip it to the side or something, probably more so for larger folks like myself. But the big benefit to all this is...
There is no possible fucking benefit.
Here we go. The benefit is someone gives you $1 billion a day for the rest of your life.
No, the big benefit is the transscrotal handshake. Because you can put your hand through your nuts and shake someone's hand, or vice versa.
I think you and I spend our free time differently. That's just a throwing that out there.
That is not a benefit. That is, like, again, like, I would need a daily income, and this is a fear factor. Like, we will do this to you, and you win $1 billion.
Different strokes, I guess.
Many, many strokes, all pierced. By the way, Brian,
what do your testicles ever do to you? Like, what, like, when you, like, how did they insult you so much that you're like, fuck you guys, mutilation for life?
One of my problems, I had gone through all the pros and
one
cons
of
this, was the problems with doing this procedure was that, you know, the bigger it gets, the more pressure you put on them because they have to go somewhere, you know, you're just kind of, it's almost like, it looks like one of those, like, gel ball metal, like, puzzles where you squeeze it from one side and, like, all the balls go everywhere, but they're restricted by their movement because of the channel they're traveling through. So I was thinking, like, that would really hurt exponentially if you got hit in the nut that way because it's this very specific point that's, like, your super weak spot. Like, getting hit in the balls right now hurts a lot. And if you just get that one point where the real brunt of the impact just, like, has that magical moment where it hits the specific part of your nut that's the closest to the surface, it's crippling.
So let me just double-check this. Your big reason for not slicing a giant hole in your scrotum and inserting a plug was that it might damage it.
Well, my scrotum, it was damaged beyond repair. That I understood. But it's the little nuts that you gotta worry about.
Absolutely. So we'll put 46 spikes through our dick, but we don't want our balls to hurt.
You gotta do what you gotta do. When you look like this,
you gotta do this.
Did someone tell you that?
No, I was.
And then you started playing Age of Sigmar. This is how it starts.
If you have 46 spikes in your balls, you get a reroll. Oh,
that works, and start playing that game.
Zappity Grumble.
Are we starting it?
Oh, good Lord. I got one of the things I wanted to just go in quick before we do this stuff is during my boozapalooza of the 4th of July, my girlfriend has a knack for picking up War Machine-themed items without really knowing it.
Yeah.
So the first one was our furniture arrangement. We had very cream-colored couches, and she bought these very maroon pillows. So, of course, the immediate thing I saw first was men off be praised. So she as soon as I said that, I think she immediately regretted her decision. So the next thing she did was we went to the liquor store, and she's been eyeballing this cherry rum. It's Caribbean or Caribbean rum infused with cherries, and it is called Lola Belle. So I was like, it's red. And it's called Lola. You just bought Butcher's Axe. And it has a lady on the front. She's in a little, like, flamingo peacock costume. And it basically tastes like red rubbing alcohol. But one of the things that I wanted to read here is why I kind of mixed it with a Baja Blast, because cherry lime kind of seemed to work. And I did the Coke and classic Coke and rum, but for one reason only. I'll read the back description here. It's Lola Belle is crafted with Caribbean rum and infused with dark maraschino cherries for a full-bodied taste with a smooth, sweet finish. Enjoy Lola Belle on its own, over ice, or in classic cocktails like Lola and Cola. Please enjoy Lola Belle responsibly. So Lola and Cola gave me enough respect to give her a run. So,
well, plus it's cherry Coke.
Yeah, I mean, if
rum and Coke is a thing, cherry Coke is a thing. That's cherry rum and Coke.
If either of the two who wouldn't want to imbibe don't mind trying it, it's there. Otherwise, I don't recommend it.
It's not good.
Well, my problem was is I had a shot of it right away. I'm like, I'll try it on its own, whatever. And I felt like cherry cough syrup was being aspirated through every bit of my respiratory system.
I love
system.
Cherry cough syrup.
Well, then you'll love this
oh,
stuff.
Oh, my God. It's that Tussin.
It's right up your alley.
Cherry Robitussin, baby.
I have it every day for lunch.
Oh, my God. If you drink enough of that, you don't need anything else.
Well, and it also gets a little exotic because the Baja Blast is of limited time only. And so, it is the Lola Belle, or Lola Bella says, Producción Limitada.
Oh.
And I think that's some language for limited.
The Lola and Cola just tastes like cherry Coke.
Yeah.
I don't even get a rum flavor.
Well, once if you hit this bottle, it'll roll through your sinuses.
All right, Baja Blast here.
Yep.
All right, so while that's going on, we got some Zappy Grumbles prepared for us. Nathan's yep. taste testing.
Nathan was taste testing, so I was...
All right, well, fine. Here, I'm on... there's only a few on Twitter. You said you were on Facebook.
I am now.
Well, I've only got, like, three on Twitter, so...
Tweets?
Yeah. There's, like, three on one and one on the other. Okay. So Casey Willis asks, would you rather play Age of Sigmar or receive a swift kick in the junk that grants a reroll? Huh. We kind of covered that.
Yeah.
And then the
swift kick.
Yep. And Brian backs.
It might hurt you.
Yeah.
And Brian Bassack's thoughts on Age of Sigmar seems very unique. It is unique, like, you know, insert terrible thing here.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we covered that. So then the only one on Twitter that wasn't Age of Sigmar related was, would you rather fight 100 duck-sized Andes or one horse-sized Andy?
Who asked that question?
That was Emmanuel Palomo.
Because we've gotten someone else had the very similar horse.
Well, the horse-sized ducks or the duck-sized horses is a classic question. But this is 100 duck-sized Andes or one horse-sized Andy.
Oh, sorry. I just didn't want to get your Mark One cards all jacked up.
Oh, that's fine.
I don't know how many Andes. I'll take the one horse-sized Andy.
I would take 100 duck-sized Andes.
I told you, it's like a ninja.
Oh, that's horrible.
I would take 100 duck-sized Andes, I think.
It's the first promotion drink of that we're not liking at all.
It's like, what was the one movie? You know.
Well, I think I'd go with the 100 ducks because I'd have flashbacks to Doctor Who adipose.
Aw, they'd be adorable. Little bearded adipodes.
I think it'd be like the March of the Murlocs alt from Murky and the Heroes, and it would just overwhelm you.
I do like that alt. It's the ultimate.
Yeah, Murky can fuck himself. I might use my gold to unlock Murky because he seems really good.
He's challenging, but
he hits people with fish. How could you not like that?
He hits way harder than you'd expect him to, and you can't kill the son of a bitch.
Yeah. Well, he's way easy to kill, but he's back.
No, he's not, because he's got that invincibility that regens like every three goddamn seconds.
Then you kill him, and he's back in 15
And then he's
seconds.
Back right away, because his egg is like somewhere nearby.
Yeah. Goddamn. But even without that, his invincibility ability regens really quickly.
Yep.
Also, before we move on, I forgot the other mystery container of Boozapalooza 2015 is... it's this thing called a tree frog. I'm trying to learn how to perfect it because it's just not quite perfect yet, but it's kind of like grapefruit juice, lemonade, this blue Hawaiian schnapps, and lime vodka. So if you want something that's really fruity, this stuff will do you.
And then if you're thirsty...
That doesn't taste like cherry cough syrup at all. That tastes like terrible.
Motor oil.
Yeah.
Cherry motor oil.
It doesn't even taste cherry.
She's deceiving. As soon as you...
It is completely deceiving. It seems like it would be a great combination.
I don't even taste the cherry.
it's an aftertaste. The aftertaste is when you
vomit it up. In 3 hours when you vomit it up, you'll be tasting the cherry.
I taste the Robitussin.
Maybe, but like bad Robitussin, not high-quality Robitussin.
Go wash out that glass before you have that.
Meh, whatever.
Okay.
I'm going to try this. Maybe this will be the secret thing that unlocks it for me.
Yeah,
so what's our Facebook? So that's our
Twitter. Yeah, that was it for Twitter. It was all right. Age of Sigmar, what do you think? And the answer is...
So I think we just zappity'd that whole
yes.
bit. Kaboosh. Yep. Well, we're going to have another one right here.
Well, Andy, you didn't answer. Would you rather fight 100 duck-sized ewes or 1 horse-sized ewe?
Classic scenario.
I think I would actually want the 100-sized me, the duck-sized me, just because I have a feeling I could probably make them my friend, and then I can have an army.
No. I can distract the horse-sized ewe easily enough and then wander away. I can't distract all 100 little ewes.
I just don't know how a duck-sized Andy is threatening.
Well, no, they're so adorable.
I would kick them all day long, just like walking around waiting for them.
No. I don't know how Wisconsin-specific this is, but everyone would wait in traffic for your army to cross the road.
I would like to have that power to stop traffic.
Well, it's front. Go test your power right now. You might have it.
You can hit bike messengers, but as soon as a duck crosses the road, hold up.
Oh, fuck bike messengers.
This is better.
Yeah, it's more of like the drink that you forget is getting you drunk.
Yeah, it tastes like 50-50 a little bit. It's very mild. It almost tastes like flat watered down 50-50.
It's not quite perfect, in my opinion. I got a little ways to go, but I'm working it.
Obligatory Age of Sigmar smart-ass question. What's Crippled System's special rule to get rerolls?
Period. Offend somebody?
Well, that's already a rule, though, in the game.
That is true. God damn it.
Cooper Potato?
Be off topic.
I don't know. No idea.
Talk for an hour and see if anyone gives a rat's ass.
No, actually,
think up a project and not follow through.
if you can convince somebody that this rule exists in the book, then you get a reroll, or just any rule.
Yeah, just, yeah, like, just make up, something up.
Make something up. There you go.
Punch Keith Hooks in the face.
Did you enjoy your Daikon updates?
Yeah. It was, he wasn't at Daikon, he was at, other one.
He was at Origins.
Origins, whatever. Zappity.
Grumble. If you were taking over the world, which ones would you have supporting you? War Boys or Minions?
War Boys.
War Boys.
Yeah, they're more successful.
Wait, am I guaranteed success? Like, it's just which sidekick would I want after taking over the world?
No, if you were taking over the world.
Oh, then I definitely want War Boys. No.
But if I have the world, then I'm firing them for the Minions.
Yeah. If I want to take over the world's heart with Facebook images, I'll pick Minions.
Yeah, no, I'll stick with War Boys. They have fun.
But they get into your
heart.
The
Minions have fun, too.
Nah, I just want to drive around. And...
All War Boys do is just basically eventually die from cancer.
Yeah. You don't know what happens to Minions. Maybe they're yellow because they're cancerous.
They live for hundreds of years, obviously, because they're all the ones from the new movie.
No, because the new movie only takes place like 37 years prior to the old movies.
They show them running around with dinosaurs.
You don't know that those are the same ones.
It could be.
That could just be their race.
Yeah.
Zappity.
Yeah. Grumble.
give us reason why Age of Sigmar is superior in every way to Warhammer.
Because you're an idiot?
And Warhammer Fantasy and War Machine Hordes. And will it take the Crippen System new name be? I don't know. Fuck it.
I can't even pretend to like Age of Sigmar.
I can't either. I mean, well, like I said, I'm very curious to know what the people who actually play Warhammer think
so
of it.
Actively insulting to their fan base.
I think I heard the last part of the question right, where it was, what would Crippled Systems Age of Sigmar name be? I think I would go with Undefined Period of Mediocrity.
That yep. hurts.
I'm sorry.
That's also the name of my sex tape.
I thought that timed out at like a minute five.
Well, it wasn't defined until now, jerk. You spoilers. The title was undefined. There was a definition, but I didn't want to have it right there.
I'm sorry. I can hear it through the trailers.
Right.
That was the movie.
Do you think podcasts going into a great deal about a certain build of lists and how to use it in every situation is a good or bad thing for the game itself?
If people like that. People like that kind of stuff. Yeah.
People like theory crafting. I personally hate it. It's the worst.
Well, if you want to be a competitive person, I think it's an important element to some degree. But, I mean, it's not something like I can't just sit and want to talk about it forever.
I can understand the frustration in having, you know, cookie-cutter lists and just throwing it out there and telling how to use it and then being frustrated seeing a lot of people use the same list. But the flip side is that if it's research telling people how to use the list, it's also research telling you what to expect from the list. So it's kind of a hoisted by its own petard thing.
When I play video games, like when I play Heroes, I'm constantly looking up other builds. Like I'm not putting them. I'm waiting for the people to put the time into it. Then I go into it because I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's a video game versus a hobby game, but it's just, you know.
Yeah.
Those videos would be like beneficial in some ways for someone who's like, I want to learn Runes of War, but I don't know how. But the other thing that you're kind of shortchanging is the person who's playing it has another layer to it where it's reacting to certain situations with what you have. You do lose that a bit, but I think like if you're just making that blueprint of like here's what happens with this list on a normal spectrum, it's beneficial in some way shape or form.
Yeah. We went over a little bit too last week when we were doing theme lists.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, I gave up. I tried to protect Travis.
Zappity.
Grab it.
Will the podcast end in an explosion and come back later renamed Age of Nathan? A better question would be, being who is blasted off into space first? Because the lizardmen went into space.
Oh.
Yeah.
Can I go to space?
Then it wouldn't be the Age of Nathan.
Are you the Rocket
Man?
I
could come back from space.
But you would have to have the perfectly sculpted to your body structure armor. And I think that would probably you'd probably be the cheapest one to do that with here. No offense.
What?
You're short.
I'm not short.
Kinda.
I'm taller than Andy.
I don't think so. You're the shortest person in the podcast.
But if they did Andy, they'd have to like take the beard and sculpt that too, and it'd be part of the helmet, and it just wouldn't work.
Yeah. My beard would need protection.
He could just be built. Brian Blessed in Flash Gordon didn't need a helmet, and he flew around in space. Andy is the Brian Blessed of Crippled Systems.
But that's not the GW way. Like, the whole faceplate thing comes down, and if you are more esteemed, you have the beard encapsulated
armor.
Can't
his beard just stick out, like, from under the faceplate?
No, because then it looked like he'd have a vagina around his neck.
What kind of vaginas are you looking at?
Natural overgrowth ones. Shut up.
Plated?
Yeah, with face plates?
Well, I mean,
actually, knowing what we know about your testicles, that is quite possible.
Well, we could just, you know, tracheotomy victims, I mean.
Dab zappity! Victims? Like, they just happen? Like, they're walking down the street and they're attacked by a tracheotomy procedure?
You don't, some people have weird kinks. Shut up.
You got the grumble.
Drive-by tracheotomy out of nowhere.
You're talking about
call
neck
the
vaginas.
Cops. He's been tracheotomy.
His neck vaginas.
Lords of Waterdeep, the best game or the best game?
I'm over it.
Yeah, I noticed. Nobody plays with me on the iPad anymore.
So John Compton will probably play with you.
Well, there you go.
Get on the iPad.
I've been wanting to give it a try.
It's fine. I played it for a year. I finally got over it.
Two of our favorite Mark I War Machine players refused to play it because it was D&D related.
What? That's... What? Who?
People. Somebody whose name is a verb. And another person who it was his friend and always said that nobody used... Eris won because they had a gentleman's agreement, and he played Signar, and so he treated all the hills as if they were Ziggurats, so you couldn't charge up
that's
them.
That's why they didn't play Lords of Waterdeep.
They didn't play Lords of Waterdeep because it was D&D based, and D&D's dumb.
I like how you mentioned the first guy is have his name as a verb.
I knew that would get picked up on.
That's the only reason why we know about him.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. I know neither of them listened, so I could have just said their names, but whatever.
We're being polite, because that's what we do.
Being polite.
Respectful.
But yeah, the Mark I Signar player who treated all hills as ziggurats, because in Mark I you couldn't charge up a level.
Yeah, because there was an inch. There was an inch on the hill.
So I'm just going to have gun lines, and you can't charge up to me while I shoot you.
Yeah.
Because we're being creative. We're having more fun this way.
Yeah.
Like, one of us is.
That guy.
If that question was about Small World, I'd probably change my tone there. Small World's so good. So good.
Small World's good. I liked Vinci, and then they relaunched a Small World, and it's arguably better. And so, huzzah.
I've been wanting to play it on my tablet, but I don't get a chance to.
All right, Zebedee.
Yeah. Rumble.
Any ideas for Zal 2's feat?
No, but hopefully it's good. All right, I have no idea.
I'm going to say it's Gatsby 2-esque, bringing things back because he's got a connection with the spirit world.
I'm guessing that won't be as... Like, I'm guessing he'll have a passive ability where if he dies, you replace an ancestral guardian in his control area with him, and you just can't kill him. Until they're all gone. Like the Kovas, almost. Yeah. You know, he'll have that Kovas-style ability. I'm guessing that'll be a passive thing he has.
That'd be nice.
No clue what his feat would be. Turn some number of guys in his control area into Ancestral Guardians? I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. All Ancestral Guardians gain the Mark I rules to him.
No.
But no, I would bet money that when he dies, you get to replace an Ancestral Guardian.
Do take in mind, though, too, when you're playing Who's the Boss and you're going through the time shift... the Mark I rules for all the trooper models, those do not change.
Those do not come along.
Those do not come along. So, I mean, you're not going to have, like, Deathjack, and you got to feed him a model in order to appease his boiler.
Or Necrovent. Just pop leaders all day.
Necrovent was so good.
Yeah, Necrovent was good. But, I mean, you're not going to have those two. So you're not going to have overpowered fucking Ancestral Guardians charging across the field at murder you army.
They were acceptable.
No. Not acceptable. Zappity, Rumble. What are you guys' thoughts on Rage of Sigmar? Do you think G-Dub's missed a boat to make a decent game here?
We already talked about that
about an hour ago. And that's when you made the post, about an hour ago. Zappity, Grumble. Does measuring the time between Zappity and the Grumble tell you how close the question is?
It should, yeah.
Only if Zappity A leaves from point B at 10:15 and then Grumble C is actually...
What happened to B?
Zappity.
Grumble to save myself. I'm not good at math.
Zappity grumble. I'm getting addicted to winning games. I've done really well against opponents lately, and I started to develop a fear of failure. How do I inevitably lose a game of War Machine and not let it affect me?
Stop playing your mom.
Snap! Wow, you just got a reroll from that.
I know, I was like, boom!
Stop playing Crix.
Yeah. Well, whatever faction you're playing, like, get creative. Try some underrated casters or weird lists.
Bring out those Black Ogryn raiding parties.
You lose more when...
These guys are so good! They're so fucking good!
If they were fearless, it would never be used.
A mirror shatters their world. Because I thought they caused fear.
They cause fear, and they cause terror, and they're not... That's fine. There's still a million hit points for a nickel. Like, fucking A.
They don't have fearless. They're worthless.
They don't have fearless.
Okay, Jeremy.
Worthless. They don't have fearless. They're unplayable trash.
When you lose two of them, you come... Well, I guess there's five, but still. It's
there's five of them for 6 points?
Yeah.
Right? And they have 8 wounds each or 10?
12.
Eight.
So, yeah, you get 40 wounds for 6 points. They're FA 2 or 3, like...
2 at least. I went 2 units of them.
Yeah.
I failed the command check once. I'm done with them.
So we went from Fist to Meat Mountain Trolls to Legion's Meat Mountain, coming soon to a game store near you, Crick's Black Ogre and Mountain.
Well, I have the...
Yeah, but you could just make him run away, though.
I've already put nine of the Brute Thralls on the table.
Then with Scar, and you got the Black Spot going on, and they just drag infinite models.
They fail command check, and you're like, why waste all that money?
Yeah, exactly. They fail command checks.
If they were zero fucking point, useless. If I was playing Age of Sigmar and I could use them, and then I'd be fine.
They are a good 0 point unit.
Did you say Age of Sigmar?
Yeah. All right. The new version of it.
Yep. All right, so two rounds of Zappity Grumbles, make it up for lost time, are we? Zappity Grumble.
that's just your standard border, your standard crippled system incompetence.
Yep. Best version of Robin? I like the dead one.
I like one? My Jason favorite Todd. Robin was Kevin Costner. That was my favorite Robin Hood.
Yeah.
I really like that one, Prince of Thieves. I watched that movie dozens of times.
Brian Adams reached into my soul during that movie.
I
listened to that
song a million times. And I was content and happy.
It was better than the Russell Crowe one. Russell Crowe one was decent, but
There's a great anecdote about a couple getting married that told the DJ that they wanted the Robin Hood song to play, you know, at their wedding while they're walking down the aisle, of course, meaning the Brian Adams one. And then she starts walking down the aisle, and it's just the 1950s TV show, the Robin Hood, and his merry band.
I thought, riding
through the Glen.
When you said that, I thought it was going to be Men in Tights, and then I'd just been like, amazing, done.
I liked, what's her face? Carrie, the one from Dark Knight Returns. Not Robin Hood, Men in Tights, him. The female Robin from Returns. Not Returns. Yeah, Dark Knight Returns. Not.
Alicia Silverstone?
Yes, Alicia Silverstone. The goddamn thing that Miller, the Frank Miller one.
I know exactly who you're talking about. I love seeing you struggle.
It's Karchu.
Karchu.
I think we'll zap. I'm gonna zap. Zappity. This Grumble.
Fucking name. It's Dark Knight Returns.
No, but the what was Robin's name?
Robin? Oh, Natalie Portman.
Asshole.
Oh, she was a Thor. I'm sorry, I got that one back. I got that mixed up. All right. Anyway,
Nathan's. All right, Zappity Grumble. When are you guys gonna stream some games for Poop Potato Lists?
Sometime between hell and freezing. It's right between there.
And somebody wants to really watch Jeremy's head explode over his Willith list.
I have been really stoked to try and get some poop or potato happening ever since I started looking at the lists.
I need to get my ass in gear, but I'm going to consolidate all the lists, and then I'm going to start contacting people in our area that play certain factions, and I'm going to try to start arranging. The live streaming didn't work out. It was just too much of a pain in the ass. And so when that failed, the whole thing kind of got put on hold. So I need to take ownership of being my project and start really driving so we can start recording some games. That's my family. Also, I Googled female Robin and got a shitload of ornithology websites that didn't help.
We could actually stream it. We could do a live stream of it. Bing?
Carrie Kelly! It was Carrie Kelly.
You never trust people with two first names.
I'm sorry.
Like Jason Todd?
Yeah. Or what was my... Rob Taylor. That was when it's just like, I can't trust that guy.
All right, Zappity.
Grumble.
All right. I also like to know if you guys have any theories about Zal 2. There are theories where we just posted them.
Rewind 10 minutes.
10 minutes. There they are. How many of you are coming to Australia for CanCon, January of 2016?
I was close to coming, and then I backed out.
I was never close to coming.
That is my...
also, that's what she said.
That's when you have to
say... High five!
I really wanted to go, but then I spent money this year.
Yeah.
But no, it's like, to go... I literally have to blow two, because I'm not going to go just for a con. I'm going to go to do the con and then spend a week and a half in Australia because it's another country and I want to hang out. So having to burn basically 2 to 2.5 weeks of vacation of the year in the first month is very hard for me to swallow. That's what she said.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like I only get 4 weeks for the year, and if I burn 2.5 weeks in the first month, and I'm terrible with my vacation. Like I burn half my vacation on I just feel like going home. I take literally 20 half days a year because I'm just lazy at work and I just keep burning vacations.
This was gonna happen.
But yeah, so I don't know. I would love to go though. Maybe next year. I was close this year. I'll try to get closer next year. Although I did say if I go to Kent, I need to get a flamethrower team and a suit of armor before I step foot in your goddamn death continent.
Did you just circle a death me?
I don't know what that means, but sure.
It's a drinking game that you play. There's kind of like a cup in the middle of the table, and then everybody pours a little bit of their drink in there, and you play cards or try to pull them off the top until so they fall, and it's kind of like drunk man's Jenga.
Gotcha. Zappity.
Zappity. Grubble. What do you guys think will be the big Gen Con surprise, if there is one?
Domination book.
Is it? No, they already had Domination.
Right. I don't know what a big surprise
is. Or not Domination. What the hell is it? Is it Devastation?
Probably.
The book with the Colossal or the new Gargantuans in it?
Right, but we already know they're coming. Like, not like we don't know what else is in that book. Yeah. I don't think there will be a big announcement surprise. It's not like they're going to say, hey, here's a Sixth Hordes faction or something.
Generally at Gen Con, they don't make those type of announcements. Yeah. It's like usually
cherry lime coke. They had that for a point in time.
Usually it's like Lock and Load or Temple Con. Now Smog Con, I guess, is included with that too. But they usually don't have the big announcements at Gen Con. They'll have a big release. More likely, Undercity will be there.
Oh, yeah, that's probably true.
For me, Gen Con, the surprise of Gen Con is finding out what the hot board game is and trying to get a copy of it at Gen Con. Like, mm-hmm. what's got the buzz in the first 2 days I got to try to track down?
You know, and maybe this is a topic for a different time, but I was at Gen Con not last year, but the year before, and I think the game that was like undersold the most, but given a price drop, probably could have done really well, was Weird's Kings of Artifice. It was like a Euro-style game, but with an American-style flip on it. It was a really fun game, but it was like $75 for a game that was fighting with Settlers and all these other really great games that are out there. It was trying to break a genre when they really had no business being in it.
That happens, though. I mean, it's interesting to see that at Gen Con, though, people trying something new and then whether they can make it or not make it.
Mm-hmm.
Zappity Grumble. Which caster from Reckoning will see the play in most events?
Tell you in 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's...
When they're out.
Yeah, I mean, they're not all out at all.
I mean, Durst is going to be in there.
I think Durst is good. In my opinion, without being able to, like, scry into my glass, I think Durst is...
He'll be there a lot.
I almost think Durst is going to beat her out.
I think so. I think Durst might be the most played. Haley 3, she's super good,
she's got a higher skill cap than Durst.
Higher skill cap, and I mean, Haley 2 and whatnot still exists. Whereas, I mean, there's good Menoth casters, Protector casters, but not as, there's not the big, like, here's the two everyone plays like there is with Signar.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So I think Durst really stands up.
Yep. Go ahead.
Haley just eats your clock a lot, too.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not familiar with her, she'll butt fuck it.
Yeah. You'll see her played by good players, but she won't... Like, Durst is fairly simple and straightforward, so you'll see a lot more people at every level of skill playing him.
And we've been dealing with Cloud Walls for a while now, so it's not something new.
Fuck you. We have not been dealing with Cloud Walls like
this. Well, you got to play against your High Reclaimers, so...
Yeah, they've always been around.
Eh. Okay, maybe.
And Tack?
Are we done?
Fine. Yeah, Grumble, sir.
Grumble.
No, not Tack, because Tack have to be in their cloud.
Zephyr with Valachev, yo.
Okay, that's three. Done. Zappity.
Zephyr, motherfucker. You've been Zephyr.
What is the best place to go for Sundays?
Sunday.
The bathroom, and that's it.
What?
I'm happy with just living in my bathroom.
That's on Sunday. Not on a Sunday. For Sundays.
Fucking English. God
probably
damn it.
A local place, a mom and pop place that makes their own ice cream, or a local ice cream place. Yeah. Anything.
Not Culver's.
They're very generic.
Well, a really good place, and this is probably for more like Wisconsinites, maybe some Minnesota people too, is the Pearl Street, or the Pearl. It's in La Crosse, Wisconsin, and it's just this shop that's been there since like their downtown district was a thing, the 30-40 years at least, and it's an amazing like travel through time into this like 1950s ice cream place.
I want to go to Horicon for some ice cream this summer. Yet
did you say Horicon?
Horicon.
If Horicon is a thing,
we're going to go there.
Yeah.
Is it next door to Blackjack Con?
Nope.
It's next to a marsh.
Yep. That's where you hide the bodies.
The Horicon Marsh is huge. They got good ice cream, too. We'll go. It'll be an hour and 20-minute drive, and you'll get some fucking good ice cream.
Right on the back end of Horicon is Coke Con, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Horicon days. We can go for Horicon days.
the problem with ice cream, or not really ice cream, for a Sunday over at Culver's is that shit will melt before you get it out of the building.
Yeah. Well, it's custard.
Yeah.
It's not deep frozen.
There's a Culver's like 100 yards from my house, and I cannot successfully transport a sundae back home. Correct. Like, that shit is gone.
You have to eat it there.
Concrete mixers turn to shakes with chunks.
Yeah.
Those stay pretty good.
Cool, banana splits turn into a banana floating in a pool of sweet milk.
Dairy Queen holds a lot of pull there, though. Like, their blizzards, their sundaes, like, their ship's tight.
Doesn't I was going to say, surprisingly, yeah, they have less structure for a while.
Well, they even did that, like, campaign where they like hand you your blizzard upside down and you're like, oh, this is crazy. And then you get some guy who's got like really hot, sweaty hands and he just dumps it on your lap.
Sorry.
It was a bad day.
Don't kink shame. I like when a guy with hot, sweaty hands just dumps it on my lap.
Well, yeah. Well, Stephanie. Grumble. How many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop? Three. Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, it's already proven.
It's you have to say it right.
Somebody actually...
I can't do it anymore.
Three.
I can't. Ever since I split my tongue, I cannot roll my R's. Three. It's frustrating.
Three. I
can't do it. The air just goes right through the middle. But
when I do it, it doesn't come from my tongue. It's from the back.
Well, you have to use your tongue in that, too.
That... No. I can talk like Merman. It's like this. I don't even read it.
Well, I don't know. I guess my throat muscles aren't as well utilized as yours.
Zappity.
Gravel. Anything left?
Two things. What is your favorite stupid rule from Age of Sigmar so far?
Been there.
Yeah.
Science did a study. It's about 1,000 licks.
Oh, okay. Zappity, grumble. What is the best place to canoe kayak within an hour of Madison? I would say up in the Dells.
Yeah, the Dells and Baraboo has like the Baraboo River, which bleeds into the Wisconsin River. Yep. So,
yeah.
I would say Jeremy's backyard.
That's
just get your canoe into the backyard and just pretend you're canoeing.
Just start digging out chunks of sod.
Yeah, I think everyone would have fun. His puppies would enjoy playing with some in the backyard. Get to play some animals. Jeremy's like, "What the fuck's going on?" Just to go for the all right. So now we're all going to recommend the new Terminator movie.
I was going to recommend the new Terminator movie, partially just to piss off Andy.
What is wrong with you?
It's not that bad.
No, three of us fucking horrendous.
Three of us have seen it. Two of us found it tolerable.
Yeah, it's definitely a tolerable action flick. It was way better than Salvation.
Yeah, that was way better than Salvation.
The struggle is real.
So the Arnold CGI was way better than I was expecting. It looked really good. I thought, because if you think back to Tron 2, that looked terrible. Correct. And that was only a couple years ago. But they just did a much better job. Maybe because it wasn't for the whole movie, so they could just devote more resources to it. But he looked really, really goddamn good. The plot was perfectly good for a time travel Terminator film. The acting was decent.
The biggest problem with that movie is it has the name Terminator in it. If it was like random movie, it probably would be more respectable. But it fails the Terminator 1 and fails to compare to Terminator 2, but by itself.
Even Terminator 3,
it had J.K. Simmons.
He was easily probably the best part of that film.
He was a throwaway part. He was funny, though.
He was throwaway, but funny.
But... the action sequences were okay.
Some of them were very good.
I was thinking on the way back.
The helicopter fight's a little weak.
That's not how helicopters work. I get it. That scene was... That is not how helicopters work. But, I mean... Meh. Like, I was thinking... Because I just marathoned... Raylene and I just watched all the Alien movies again, and so this was fresh in my head. But I'm thinking... Comparing the Terminator to... The Alien films. The first one is like the sci-fi horror film that's the classic and stands up. And then the sequel is an amazing action flick that even takes it to another level and eclipses the original.
Because they're directed by the same guy.
Right. And then the third one is shat on by a lot of people, but really as a utilitarian film, it is better than the credit it gets. Some great action sequences. Yes, it was different than the second one, and so it pissed off some people, but it was a solid, solid film.
Any movie that ends with the destruction of the world can't be bad, in my opinion.
Correct. And then the fourth film was a huge change in tone and setting, and was way worse than the other three.
And I was excited for the futuristic approach at first, but anyway, it was bad.
And the Alien and the Terminator movies, kind of like that I get. And then this one I liked. So my analogy kind of didn't have, because there isn't a fifth Alien film like this.
Not yet. It had, and I don't know the exact quote. But it was like three. There's a quote in the movie that my brain, when I watch the movie first time, I never get the exact words that stick in my head.
Yeah.
But when they fight, when they realize who the true bad guy is halfway through, which is, you know, which is gimmicky, but whatever. He has that, like, he asks them that, you know, join me on the dark side. Yeah. And they're like, you know, well, fuck you. We want to save the world. And he says that sentence about, okay, can you hear that? You know, that's the sound of the dice being thrown. I just love that line.
Yeah, he's going to risk fucking up the timeline to kill him.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they think they have plot armor. Because, like, you can't kill us because that ruins everything. He's like, I'll try. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I just, the way he delivered that line, and the line, I mean, that movie, just from that line alone, is tolerable and rewatchable. Yeah. And other than the helicopter sequence, I thought the whole, from beginning to end, it was just too sloppily done and too rushed.
The helicopter sequence was bad.
The dialogue on it, okay, but, so I've, on a side note, I've been watching Under the Dome, okay? Yeah. So Under the Dome just has just horrible, horrible dialogue, and it just felt like I was watching a high-budget version of dialogue from Under the Dome, but in the Terminator world.
Yeah.
The dialogue was just... Just
you look at some of the really cheesy dialogue between even in 2 versus John Connor in Terminator. There's a lot of cheesy dialogue in those movies.
The thing with those movies, there wasn't a lot of dialogue. There was a whole bunch of exposition throughout this whole movie explaining how things worked.
Yeah.
In Terminator 2 and in Terminator, they just did.
I will say that was a very scary hospital MRI machine.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Like, that hospital is going to fucking kill you if you're near with that MRI
machine. I rarely break Brian's golden rule of talking in a theater, but I leaned over and I said, I'm not
getting an MRI.
I'm never getting an MRI. It was tolerable, but I felt that it was worse than Salvation.
I like altering the movie's timeline the way they did. There was obviously some pretty bad plot holes, I think, along the way. But they did it on purpose because they want to build more movies.
Yeah, I mean, there's only, in my mind, there's like 3 unexplained things, and 2 of them are easily explained. There's only one that I can't easily explain away, and I guess we don't want to overly spoil, even though it's just a utilitarian thing, but...
Well, we can. Why not? Spoilers. Skip ahead.
Spoilers for the next 2 minutes. So...
Spoiler, 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 spoiler.
There's 2 T-1000s that are sent back in time. Mm-hmm. One to Sarah Connor when she was 9 and another to 1984. Mm-hmm. Those aren't explained. You could argue that Skynet sent them back after fucking up the timeline the way he did. I won't go into that spoiler. I'll leave that. But Skynet fucks up the timeline. And so he could have, after doing that, sent back both of those T-1000s.
Yeah.
But then the question is, who sent back Arnold Schwarzenegger? And that's never explained. They're saving for the sequels. And even that, I thought of some possible things that could have been some that are dumb and some that I think would be really cool. But
well, there's multiple. And also, too, they build into in 84, they build in a time machine. So obviously, someone could have built some other random time machine.
Correct.
Because once you start building multiple time machines, then you're like, okay, everyone's building a fucking time machine.
Right.
You get a time machine. You get a time machine.
They could have had the finale been like in Bill and Ted 2, where they just tell each other what they're going to do after they win.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That was
Isn't that
so good.
Excellent Adventure?
Yeah. No, that was Bogus Journey.
Oh, Bogus Journey.
Because Excellent Adventure, the big climax is they do a book report.
Yeah, the book report.
they do a history report.
With Socrates.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll work.
But no, in Bogus Journey, where they just, them and the villain keep telling each other what they're going to do after they win. Whoever wins can go back in time to make themselves win.
And Bogus Journey is the one with Station.
Yes. And Death.
There is a moment in the first one where they do a little bit of that when they're sneaking around his dad's
with the keys
station,
and whatnot.
But not to the level.
Because it's only them. They're like, after the movie's over, we need to do this so this works. But in the sequel, there's a competitive version where they're trying to out after the movie's over each other, which is brilliant.
Yeah, no, that is amazing.
I'm scared for the new one, but it might be good.
There has never been a bad Bill and Ted movie.
No.
John Wick's on HBO, by the way, for everyone. That's just a random
station. John Wick on HBO!
I turn the channel he's on, I just get stuck watching it. I'm like, oh, yeah. Anyway, so recommendations. So we all recommend Terminator.
All 4 of us. It's unanimous. High fives. Podcast over.
They bribed me with the ability to put my booze on the table. Sure. Terminator.
There we go. Unanimous. I
mean, 5 stars. The thing is they don't even need me to sway the decision. All they need to do is team up on you.
Go see it with 100 duck-sized Andes.
Yeah. I guess it wasn't the worst movie I've seen.
I know normally I shit on utilitarian action films and find the plot holes, but sometimes when I know that's what I'm going into, I'm okay with it.
I'm like, okay, I know this is not going to be as good. I mean, I had a different level of expectation. I was not hoping or dreaming, and there's... Yeah.
I knew there were going to be plot holes. It's a time travel movie. Nothing's going to make sense. I knew it was just going to be... The helicopter thing, that's not how helicopters work. But apart from that, whatever. Ship blows up. They invented a new version of a Terminator that's even more unstoppable than the previous 17 unstoppable Terminators. Because, of course, it was. Meh.
It's like they...
I got an upgrade.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Not telegraphed at all. But that's okay.
Not at all.
Not at all.
No. Those things are just fine. They just need a chip.
Zoom in on chip. It doesn't work except the giant magnet. Zoom in on magnet. Good times.
Yeah. I really wish I had less dialogue in the film. I didn't need to have things explained to me.
There just was a lot of exposition.
Yeah. And monologuing. I mean, the villain does monologue pointlessly the first time he's revealed as the villain.
I love villain monologues. Yeah. I like talking villains.
How did
Except MI3 does great there. Because the villain doesn't talk at all. That's great, too.
How did he get there?
Time travel?
Time travel.
Because after Skynet fucks with things in the future, Skynet now has the time machine. It's not like the time machine got blown up.
One thing that happens when you time travel is you can't have organic
stream.
Material over the bodies, so there's no way that he could make it back because he is all metal.
No, he's,
which he, doesn't explain the T-1000s being traveling back in time as well. No, he was basically all metal. He couldn't go anywhere because he was...
How did the T-1000 get back?
Exactly!
And here's the thing to me, like...
Because, I mean, the major point of the Terminator movie is they made it very... It was... They kind of talked about it back and forth back then, but it wasn't like, this is how it's done.
Yeah.
They said they always needed to... You had to be naked because you couldn't have anything with you because... Yeah. And the reason why Terminators are able to be sent back is they had... living tissue over endoskeleton.
So how did the T-1000 get back in T2?
They didn't really explain it, right, but so then it was just kind of, But in this movie here, they absolutely explain it, that if you have anything out there, it'll just rip apart and it'll kill you.
Yeah.
So maybe they stored, like, T-1000s in, like, a dog? And then sent it through time.
But then the thing with that is because they said that the reason in the first Terminator, the reason Kyle Reese couldn't bring a weapon back with him was because only living things could come back.
Correct.
So the science flaw is he should have come back with no fingernails or hair because your fingernails and hair aren't alive.
Correct.
But whatever. So, okay, it's organic matter, in which case he could have shoved a bazooka in a corpse and brought it with him.
Yes, exactly. You know?
Not even his own body. He could have just taken a dead person, shoved a bazooka in it, and brought that back.
Yeah.
But
they make it a very big point in this movie is saying that was kind of the major problem I had with it. Why
villain in 2 and 3 has the exact same plot hole?
Yeah. Correct, but it
wasn't as big a deal.
But
I understand.
It wasn't a fixed plot point.
Right.
I can't let little things like that get away. I mean, this movie also, I laughed quite a bit. There was a lot of jokes in this movie. There was a lot of
mainly all awesome Arnie jokes.
Yeah, Arnie had
everything
a lot of good jokes.
Arnie did.
Like, where were you? Stuck in traffic. I mean, it's like all sorts of just fun little.
All stuff with Arnie was great. Yeah. I would have loved it if they would have reprogrammed the other Terminator and then had double Arnies.
Double right Arnie, like a buddy cop thing.
Like Last Action. No, Last Action Hero. Yeah.
Yeah. In general, saying like Last Action Hero is not a good thing to say.
It's always good.
Last Action Hero would have been an amazing movie if it was just a... Oh, God, I can't think of the character's name.
Now, how does it feel, Andy?
Is it the
I
kid?
Sure like watching you struggle.
Is it the kid
trying
from My
to
Girl
remember?
Too?
Nope.
Yeah. Oh, look at that!
Jack
I love
Reacher?
Watching Andy. Jack Reacher.
It's not Jack Reacher.
John Practice.
Jimmy Carter.
All right.
Go on. We're waiting.
What's
the character's name?
Minister of Dead Air here.
Dead air.
Well, Andy's looking. I have one recommendation. I mean, I have a recommendation, I guess. I've been recently dabbling in anime a little bit because Amanda likes it a lot. So I've already hit the marks of Cowboy Bebop and Trigun and sure. Dragon Ball Z. So the one I'm watching now, and I don't know if this is a big deal or like a more like well-known one or not, is Assassin Classroom. been having a really good time with that.
High School of the Dead? Sorry.
High School of the Dead. Boom physics. I saw that one on Hulu or whatever, and I was interested in it. I haven't watched it. I don't know. I had never heard of it. It looks like newer, and I haven't seen a lot of newer stuff.
This one's pretty nice. Kind of the gist of it is you've got this this space alien monster, and he has ripped a hole through the moon and says that he's going to destroy the Earth in X amount of days. But what he's going to do to give Earth a leg up in that is train students. He basically become their teacher and train them on how to kill him because he is so highly unkillable.
So he wants to make it a challenge for himself.
Basically, yeah. So it's filled with personal growth and murder and junior high school students.
And the alien monster has like a big smiley face for a head, judging like by the commercials.
He's a big octopus guy with a very spherical "have a nice day" head.
Yeah. Anime.
Yeah.
So Nathan mentioned Cowboy Bebop before, and I even messaged him. Like I Googled it trying to find what to watch, and I got like all these variant versions of it. I was so confused because he said it was like supposed to be one season. And, like,
yeah, it's only 26 episodes.
And the first time I did the search was like here's like 50 some episodes, seven seasons. I'm like, I thought it was like one season, so I don't know like how I'm searching it.
Well, one of course, the...
I keep saying like Cowboy Bebop. I always add porn to the end of all of my searches.
Well, sure.
Trying to pull that
one
off.
One of the things that I might be able to do for you, I'd have to convene with the other half because she technically owns it. I've got the movie of, or I've got it on DVD if you want to, like
the box set of the whole series. Yeah,
you could just probably knock on that door there and talk to Jeff. Jeff has it.
I don't want to bug Jeff. He's so far away.
Oh yeah,
okay. He's behind a door. I don't know what
if there's one anime series that you should watch in your life. I do believe Cowboy Bebop is one of them. There's another spinoff of it. I can't remember the name of it right offhand.
Samurai Champloo?
I tried watching Full Metal.
Well, that's by the same people. It's not a spinoff, though.
I'm trying to remember.
Because Cowboy Bebop had one follow-up movie that, unlike Serenity, it doesn't take place afterwards. The Cowboy Bebop movie takes place in the middle of the show.
This one kind of has the same gist as the other one, but it's a dude with, like, a bouffant, or, like, he's got that little Elvis haircut.
No clue.
I try to watch Full Metal Alchemist because I always hear all these good things about it, but it always has this it's like serious and then so goofy. It's hard for me to watch some of this anime where it goes.
If I recall correctly, Full Metal Alchemist is like there's Full Metal Alchemist and there's Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, which is almost like a self remake. Yeah, and that one's supposed to be really good.
That's the one I was watching. Was a brother? It was like it was serious and then like goofy and serious. I couldn't get the tone.
Well, I mean, doesn't like things like Firefly and Buffy do that too?
Kind of, but just in a weird. It almost went like preschool humor, adult humor. It wasn't like grade school. It almost went too low on the ball.
Trigun is an interesting series that Brian mentioned because what Trigun does is the series starts and it is entirely goofy and fun and wacky. And then partly through the series, shit starts getting real and it turns into the darkest drama in the history of hatred and death.
Which sounds cool. What's and there's that one that Nickelodeon did that people like a lot. There was a bad movie about it.
Legend Korra.
I keep trying to watch
Avatar. Yeah,
I
Avatar.
I try watching the Avatar and season one of that is so childish too. And I keep
I've heard
told
that,
it's
but
so
it,
good.
It, I think that Avatar you have to bully through, like not bully because it's not necessarily bad. It's just more childish. But after season one of Avatar, I've heard like it really starts to grow.
It's kind
of
like Parks and Rec in that sense, where if you get through the pilot,
It would almost be like reading or watching the movies of Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Where, like, the first one is definitely for children, and then it gets more and more mature as you go along. I think Avatar is a lot like that, where it starts out as a kid's show, and then it just becomes more of a drama than anyone
else. It's hard to bully my way through when it's so...
Do Bebop.
All
right. We definitely should do Bebop.
Mm-hmm. That thing will pull on your heartstrings by the last few episodes.
Shebop.
Shebop? Bebop?
The end. I think we're done here.
I'm gonna recommend The Witcher 3.
Witcher 3.
I can't.
I'm like five. I'm level like five or six. I'm like seven. I'm like 8 or 9 hours into it. I haven't fucked anyone, which is my only complaint in the game. When you play The Witcher, usually every 5 minutes you're fucking some new whore because that's just how you play a Witcher game. It's not trying to be rude. It's just what you do as a Witcher.
That is indeed. It's a big plot point in the books is that he does a lot of women.
Yeah. You go into a town. You're like, hey, I need to help to find the local monster. Oh, by the way, hey, you have a vagina, I have a penis. We have to go talk about things.
Well,
then they move on, and then, you know.
It's not even just like a James Bond thing where he bangs chicks while doing his thing. Like, it's a service he renders. Like, when he goes into a town, he's like, I am a witcher. I have two things that I do well. Kill monsters and satisfy the ladies. Because he's a monster slayer and a gigolo. Like, witchers are 50-50. Those are the two services that they offer the public.
I got up to the frying pan, and then I started to slip on the interest.
Well, the frying pan thing is kind of ridiculous. Yeah. But I got like, I'm level five in the, I'm level six in the game. I feel like I've played it for 8 hours, and I feel there's like 1,000 hours to go. So there's a little bit of like, man, I don't feel I'm ever going to get anywhere. Because when you play it, you know, you have the main quest, and then you have like 1,000 question marks in your map you can go to. Right. You don't have to go to those question marks, but obviously you have to go to those question marks.
Right.
And on top of that, you find clues and things that create more question marks, and there's random events that just happen even without question marks in the map. So there's things constantly happening, which is great, but it's like I don't have the time. I think I'm trying to like play a couple hours a day.
Yeah, it's like now whenever I play any JRPG, you know, like a Final Fantasy or whatever, there's always the point like they railroad you for like 70% of the plot.
Yeah.
And then you get to, you know, would have been the last CD in a PlayStation version because they always were multi-disc or whatever. But like they railroad you and they get to a point where, all right, great. If you go there, it's the last dungeon. Here's an airship. You can go anywhere, and there's 700 side quests. Go have fun.
Yeah.
And I would always get to that point and go, well, that's just too many, and I would never finish the game.
Yeah.
Just because I know that I'm never going to do all of them.
I'm going to fuck someone in this game before I stop playing. That is my, like, I'm gonna, someone is getting fucked by... I finally saw some boobies in the last hour of my gameplay, so that
there
was
a good.
I was going on the right track of, you know, I'm just saying, but someone's being fucked, and then maybe I'm going to call it quits after that, but there's no fucking way I'm stopping before.
You're not going to play a Witcher game that you don't get laid in.
Yeah, that's un-American.
Yeah.
I guess you must not like Dragon Age that much.
I have sworn off that company.
Okay, I understand. I feel you, but I was Dragon Age.
Dragon Age 1 was fun.
I really like them all. I do. And I will say Mass Effect, I like all too.
We're going to have a war, people!
Oh, you get a reroll.
Oh, man.
That was a response.
If I can shove this microphone up his ass, do I get a reroll?
Shove it through his scrotal septum. That's your near piercing.
We're giving you a new piercing. All right, anyway, I'm letting that go.
My final recommendation is to watch the stream. It's back on TV now.
You mispronounced Terminator Genesis.
No.
Rick and Morty Season 2 and The Strain both coming this summer.
No.
Seinfeld's on Hulu.
I don't like Hulu, so I can't watch Rick and Morty.
Rick and Morty is the best.
You have to make sacrifices sometimes. Hulu could publicly support the skinheads, and if they were playing Rick and Morty Season 2, I would goddamn watch it.
Well, I'm just going to record season 2.
It's kind of like Chick-fil-A. I don't agree with them morally, but those sandwiches are delicious, so yeah, I buy sandwiches.
I eat a Chick-fil-A. I don't care how much they hate the gays. They have good sandwiches. I'm sorry to my gay friends, but their sandwiches are amazing.
Gay people have said that to me. Gay people have been like, yeah, well, I understand, but man, their sandwiches are good. You should just go eat their sandwiches.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And see, there's one thing. I understand you don't like commercials, and that's a fair thing because Hulu forced you to watch commercials, so that's a valid complaint. But of everyone I know... When I'm watching a TV show and a commercial comes on, you're like, oh, this is my favorite commercial. You're like, you know more about commercials than anyone I know on actual TV.
Because
like,
that is true.
Florida, but you know all the commercials already.
You and I quote Little Caesars commercials at each other.
Yeah, I'm too lazy to fast forward them. In Hulu, I can't fast forward them, and they're all the same commercials repeated every time.
Well, one of the nice things is they give you the little ticker in the corner that tells you when it's going to be done, so you can like... judge like how long is it really going to take me to pee based on how long like this is going, or for me it's another beer.
And sometimes they do the thing where like, hey, if you watched 5 minutes of commercials right now, you won't have to see another commercial for the rest of this.
Yeah, that's
and then you're like, great, yes, goodbye, and then you just go play on the internet for 5 minutes and come back and then you're done.
Yep. I honestly have. If
also, there's Rick and Morty between those commercials.
If it weren't for Orange is the New Black, I have a very difficult time justifying keeping my Netflix account.
No, I like my Netflix a lot.
I don't remember though. Like, yeah, Raylene and I watch random garbage on it, but I can't. I don't use Netflix.
Well, and now like one of the big reasons why I was keeping Netflix for the longest time was because some of their foreign films. They used to have this really huge category of foreign films, like good ones, like the Korean version of Old Boy,
Zombievers,
and Recycle. Like, those were really good movies.
They're,
and they just
even all like the Italian porns.
No. I did set that up on my friend's Netflix. So when his lady friend came over, it was a really interesting situation.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, they got rid of that.
There's no
so.
Incognito mode in Netflix.
Yeah.
That is raw bullshit.
It's my own account, and even I don't want to see my history went out from the night before. Like, man, last night I was really sad and lonely because this history is just not something I want to see again.
Right. Why did I watch Blue is the Warmest Color 7 times yesterday?
So. For a while there, Brian and I shared my Netflix account. So I have like a ton of recommendations on there because I liked certain movies,
yeah,
which Brian rated on my account.
Yeah, sometimes if you look at the account, it looks like you're really a big fan of like French artistic films.
French autistic films?
Little of both.
Yeah.
Or like 70s Italian horror films, because those are the two movies that always have naked women in them.
Or it's like Cinemax at 11 o'clock at night collided with Nickelodeon's Power Hour, and you're...
All right, Zavity. We should. This is.
It's been two goddamn hours. We should. Oh, that's been 2 good hours, but we should be done.
Yeah, we're done.
Go watch.
Okay, I love you. Bye. Go watch Terminator.